Yay!
We did it, guys. Once again, we have blast off.
That's the goal.
Griff is already drunk.
NFP is my mother.
Griffin, where on your list is Watch Dogs 2 land? Is what I have. So do we have any planned?
I hacked your list. I hacked your list, so you actually can't see my true list. I'm going to put Watch Dogs.
I'm
going to
share this with both
of
you guys right now.
No, you can't. Jamie said you can't share it.
No, I want it to be a surprise.
Just don't look at it until I've read the list off. I'll have the share thing hovering, you little fuckers.
All right.
All right. So, we're gonna just go into this.
Yeah.
Is it time for the game of the year?
I think we got to do something like that. Yeah.
On Boss Barrel.
Yep.
Are we gonna rename this bad boy at some point? Maybe that's our new
Stop pressuring me, Jeff.
Griffin, I know you have a new job that consumes your soul, but can you please reboot the website?
Yeah.
Altsource Reborn.
Trust me, there is absolutely nothing that I like to do more than going home after work and spending time trying to figure out computer stuff.
That's why you do all your gaming on PC.
Exactly. That's why I do it.
We're going to be doing a little game of the year business here, and we drew straws.
Uh-huh.
And my straw was the sexiest straw, so I get to go first.
Nice.
And nobody has seen my list yet, so that's exciting. And also, I didn't play games for, like, the second half of the year, so that's also exciting. So I think our lists are going to be actually pretty different this time around. There's also just a lot of good games this year, I felt.
Bad year, good games.
Yep.
Yes.
100%. And I'm actually now going to hit the share button so I can send to you guys, because once I read this list, you guys can look at it. Without further ado, I'm just going to go into it. I've got 10 games because I follow the rules and I'm not a punk. And here they are. So for number 10, I had Super Mario Run.
Ew.
All right.
Please hold your applause. Please hold your applause.
I wasn't judging you. I just happened to eat something that was really gross.
Sometimes when I
was it a fart, spicy meatball,
I just say ew, and it heads it off.
Gotcha.
For number 9, I have Fire Emblem Fates. Number 8, I have Valhalla. Number 7, I have Hitman Enter a World of Assassination.
Excuse me, it's Hitman TM Enter a World of Assassination.
Oh fuck!
Yeah,
your list is invalid.
Throw it out. Start over. Number 6, I have Pokemon Sun / Moon. I mean, I play
Pokemon Sun.
Whatever. So much commentary. For number 5, I have Owlboy.
Elfboy?
Mm-hmm. Elf Bowling is number 5.
Okay. It's the newest Wii title. It's the original Wii.
Owlboy like El Nino? Or
Yo Soy El Army Boy. who made Owlboy? Was it 17-bit? No.
Nope.
Something like that.
A guy, a man.
Yeah. Anyway, Owlboy. Great game. Number 4, I have Stardew Valley. Number 3, I have Uncharted 4. Number 2, I have Overwatch. And my game of the year this year is XCOM 2.
I was going to say, let's hold off on the last one, but now you're there.
Oh, fuck.
We just
cut it in post, man.
Okay, we can. No, I won't. That's a lot of work, and I don't want to do it.
My game of the year is...
That's crazy, dude. So your game of the year for 2016 in the year of our Lord, 2016...
is... Dragon Age Inquisition. Hey, man, I missed a lot of games this year.
I can tell.
That's why it's a weird one for me. I have an honorable mention, but I'm going to save that. Got to keep the surprise alive.
All right, I like it. Save it.
All right.
Can you just tell me one more time you were number one? Because it just knocked my socks off so hard they flew up into my face and I forgot what happened.
Actually,
what happened?
I don't have any socks anymore.
In your whole house.
Game of the year is XCOM 2.
Oh, no, I don't have any underpants anymore.
Well, now you're just getting sexual on me. Where's your hands right now?
Now, let's get this straight. XCOM 2, that's the game where you you can't run it. That's the one, right?
I can run XCOM 2. Just in the last mission, it ran at like 5 frames per second.
Oh, God.
But I finished that last mission.
So actually, you're saying there's like, it's like the snake resisting the torture, Metal Gear Solid, like where gameplay impacts real life, grueling experience of trying to finish the game. You're actually trying to slog through the end of the game,
listen,
torturing yourself.
We're not supposed to be commenting on this until we've gone through our list.
Okay, I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry.
He's right.
Getting ahead of myself.
Put your goddamn socks on.
Okay. I will go next, I guess.
Go for it.
Okay, so yeah. I will read my list of 12 games to 1 games. In no particular order. No, it's very particular.
Descending order.
It's very, very particular. Starting with number 12 is Firewatch.
Nice.
Thank you. Number 11, Street Fighter V. Or
they made a fifth one of those?
Yep.
They made a I thought they stopped after 4.
Yeah.
I thought they just stopped.
Some people may say... Scientists have yet to decide if that's true or not.
Okay.
Number 10.
Sorry, guys. I'm just auditioning to be a ghost.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Number 10, cracking into the real meat and potatoes of this list at this point, we've got Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
So what you're saying is the first game on your list is Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Nope, that's number 10, as in the last one on the true game of the year.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah,
And then number 9 would be Zero Escape, Zero Time Dilemma. First time I've realized there's 2 zeros in that title, huh?
Is Zero Escape part of the title? I thought the name of the game was just Zero Time Dilemma.
Isn't that whatever.
Google.
Yeah.
I believe the full title is Zero Escape, Hitman TM, Zero Time Dilemma, Enter a World of Zero Time.
Well, this is a Japanese game, so it's Hit Women.
Oh, God.
Hey, did you guys know that the Fast and Furious franchise is called Wild Speed in Japan?
Yes, I did, and it's wonderful.
I didn't know that. That's so good.
And the most recent ones have names like Euro Mission and Air Mission.
Uh-huh.
Air Mission? Yeah. Air Mission?
Yeah, to plug another podcast, Laser Time did an amazing rundown of different movie names in different countries, so go check them out. They're fantastic.
Fantastic. Also, cool. It's just called Zero Time Dilemma.
I don't know about that.
NFC.
Enter a World of Assassination.
I don't know. I don't know, man. Well, I guess we'll have to wait for the judges to return with their answers. Number 8, Call of Duty, Infinite Warfare. Jeff, you want to fact check that full name, too, for me?
Whoa.
Okay.
Shots fired.
Speaking of shots fired, here comes Uncharted 4 in at spot number 7.
All right.
What's the subtitle on that one? Did I miss the full name there?
A Thief's Dilemma? TM. Enter a World of Pirates.
Uncharted 4, Two Walking Sims. Two Walking Sims down this beach, but where's the third track? Where's the third pair of footprints coming from? The answer is Jesus.
It's Amy Hennig.
Yeah,
oh, no. Pour one out.
All right, 6, Overwatch. 5, Pokemon Moon. 4, Final Fantasy 15. 3, Stardew Valley. 2,
whoa,
Titanfall 2. And 1, the best game of 2016, undeniably and irrefutably, Doom 2016.
Nice.
Mic drop.
Yo, guys, Brutal Doom 64 is way better.
I like the Tim Allen Doom.
I do, too.
Is that the one where you just go, when you die?
Yep, and every sprite is Tim Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that a real thing?
It's quite nice, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe you don't know that. You really were gone for half a year.
Yeah. Dude, man, I don't know.
You're back, Amy. It's good. It's all good.
Let's hear the list.
My list? My time?
Cue the list.
I only had 10, but since Griff had 12, I'm gonna make mine 12.
You should make it 8.
No.
I know what number 12 is.
Coming in at 12 is Virginia.
Ooh.
Ooh. Coming in at 11 is Ratchet and Clank.
Which one?
The first one, like, ever released.
Like from 2006?
Late 2000 Light is what they actually call all the
years. One that they remastered and put out on the PS4 this year.
Mm.
Isn't the subtitle of that the movie based on, or the game based on the movie based on the game?
Something like that. So that's my number 11. My number 10. And can I just interrupt myself and say that it was really hard to order this list. And I'm not super happy with it, but whatever.
Yeah,
number 10 is Hyperlight Drifter.
Oh, nice. A notable absence from Jeff's list.
Mostly because I played an hour of it. There's a lot of games that would have been on the list.
And you didn't play it. You didn't play it post-patch, which is really the only way to play that game. I have a couple games on here that are really only on here because of substantial patches. 9 is Gears of War 4. 8 is Hitman TM, Enter World of Assassination. Number 7 is Dishonored 2, which really, I want to talk about that when we get to it. Number 6 is Titanfall 2. Number 5 is Doom. And this is where things got really hard, because any of these top 5 could be 1. Doom could easily be 1. Overwatch is 4. Actually, Oxenfree came in at 3 for me. You guys should definitely try that game.
Did that come out in 2016?
Yeah, because the Game Awards.
Jeff, with your fucking facts.
No, I'm sure it did. I'm sure it did.
If the Game Awards awarded it something in 2016, I think I'm allowed to put it on.
The Game Awards is the arbiter of
I think if you invoke, yes, the Game Awards for any sort of legitimizing.
Doritos Pope thinks it came out in 2016, the facts no longer matter.
I'm getting pounded right now by the Schickbot guys. Right now. He's right behind me.
It's actually called the Hydrobot.
Oh yeah, that's, sorry. He hates it when I call him that. So he likes the Schick. He likes the Schickbot.
I just call him Stanley because I respect him.
He's not a person. Number 2 is Uncharted 4, and number 1 is Firewatch.
What?
Firewatch. You guys know me and my walking Sims.
Yep.
I mean, it was on Griffin's list, so clearly
it was totally on the list.
It didn't make my list, guys, and let me tell you why. Don't even own it.
Nice.
Lame.
Played so many games, guys.
But like I said, any of my top 5, Doom, Overwatch, Oxenfree, Uncharted 4, Firewatch, could be number 1.
I feel ya. I also want to say that even though I played, like, I missed a lot of big games this year, my list was like 20 before I cut it down.
Really?
This is a list of a year of a lot of good games.
Yeah. It's never been a better time.
Nope.
So,
to watch the Game Awards.
Yeah, do you want to expose your bonus one right now, Jeff, or do you want to take one of your items on your list and expound upon its location and your love for it?
I'll take an item on my list and I'll expound upon its location and my love for it. I'm not going to do my number 1. I got to leave you hanging for that one. but let's talk. How would you feel about talking about Stardew, Griffin?
I think that's a great place to start.
A great place to start.
Especially for me, because I still have never touched to this game. I have no idea why it's appealing.
You have no right speaking right now.
That'll just be me with all other games. okay, so Jamie, have you ever played Harvest Moon?
Nope.
Well, alrighty then. hey, audience, so you know Harvest Moon?
Have you ever played an RPG that has a dating sim in it?
Yes.
Have you ever thought, man, this would be nice... Okay, wait. Have you ever played a game that has a very, very simple economy... very, very simple economy system?
World of Warcraft?
Yeah, sure.
Have you ever played... Okay.
And have you ever played a sim game?
Wait, you know, like, in StarCraft, when you're, like, building up your base, have you ever just been like, man, I wish I didn't have to, like, go fight shit, and I could just build up my base forever?
Mm-hmm.
Like SimCity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes!
Like SimCity. Like a sim game. Like have you ever played, a Maxis sim game?
No?
No, I'm joking. Of course I played SimCity.
All right, so Harvest Moon, which is Harvest Moon.
Do you ever remember playing Sim Town in the computer lab in Summit Middle School?
Hell yes, I do.
Okay, dude, so it's pretty much the same thing.
That game is a fucking bomb.
Right, it was.
Loved Sim Ant.
Incredible.
Anyway, moving on. So Stardew Valley is like Sim Ant, except Harvest Moon 2016.
Except it was Simtown and way better.
Yes. So basically, Jamie, Harvest Moon, or fuck, Stardew Valley. God damn it. Stardew Valley is a game where you are given a farm, and you're just dumped on the farm, and it's like, hey, why don't you make a life for yourself? And basically, your day-to-day cycle consists of a number of different things. Growing crops, which is a process that, you know, unfolds over the course of several days. So you really just, like, water your crops every day pretty much, and on one day you harvest them. You might do different things to care for them. You also have, as Griffin alluded to, a town sim where you can, like, go talk to people in town, give them gifts, do little side quests for them, get to know the women in town and potentially marry them.
Or men.
There's also... Or men, yep. Can you... You can have gay relationships in that game, right?
Definitely with the patch.
Okay, yeah. So there's a bunch of marriageable bachelors and bachelorettes in town that you can get to know. There is also a...
Wait. Is this the licensed game equivalent of the Gilmore Girls? Because if so, I'm all... about it. It sounds like it's the Gilmore Girls.
Is the Gilmore Girls, is that the show where the lady sells weed in the suburbs?
No, that's be, weed. Weeds.
Weed Mom.
Weed. Weeds. Weed, oh. Weed 3. Weed Mom.
No, so it's like Gilmore Girls in that there are seasons.
Okay, cool.
So you can do those two things. You can also go to, like, a mine, and you can do some basic combat and gather materials there. And kind of the draw of the game is accumulating materials, building your fortune, making bigger and bigger farms, growing your production, and making, you know, like, being able to harvest more and more crops in one season because you get more money. There's just something very addicting and kind of zen-like about playing the game. And it's a formula that was really perfected with Harvest Moon, but Harvest Moon kind of dropped off the map, and Stardew Valley... is like a better Harvest Moon.
Mm-hmm.
In that all the stuff that it does really well with some nice kind of modern shortcuts. And it also has a nice progression system, which is actually built around collecting a bunch of different items to restore this, like, broken down town hall. And the different items actually require you to kind of dip your toes into all the different kinds of activities you can do in the game. Another big one is fishing, which is really fun. So it's got, you know, it's kind of got a little bit of, like, an Animal Crossing vibe in that way. And kind of
that's a good, that's a really good comparison.
Yeah. And it's, you know, no day is longer than, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. So these days go quickly, but you only need to do 5 to 10 minutes worth of things in any given day. And there'll be, like, events and festivals on certain days, which you need to plan for. So it kind of activates a lot of different parts of the brain, you know, the planning side of the brain, the kind of, community piece of the brain where you're like, you know, you're part of a town, you know, the accumulation part of the brain where you just get more and more stuff.
But in that same respect, like, you don't need to engage in all of those things. You could just be like, hey, I want to do fishing. I love the fishing minigame. I just want to be that guy that fishes all the time.
Yeah. And I'm actually excited to dive back into it at some point because they introduced new variations of the farm that, like, prioritize certain kinds of tasks. So, like, if you want to just go hard into fishing, you can do that. And you do make choices. I mean, you know, you can, if you really want to, you can make your entire living off of crab pots. It'd be really dumb, but you can do it.
Can you marry a crab
pot? Speaking from experience, aren't you, Jeff, as a crab potter? As a crab pot head?
That's the only thing you can do in Maine, man. but no, it's just, it has a very relaxing quality about it. It really feels like Animal Crossing, and it's just fun to be in that world, watch the seasons change, watch your fortunes grow, start from nothing and work towards something big, and get a wife, get a husband, you know. Can you have
my wife?
Can you have a kid? I can't remember. I think you can, right?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway. And you have a soft time limit of 2 years where you have to try to achieve this goal of restoring the town hall. So that actually gives the game, which ordinarily would feel kind of directionless, a sense of drive, which is often lacking from those sorts of games.
Mm.
And if you like the flow of the game, if you like the kind of the cycle of the game, you can keep going afterwards. You know, this isn't a game that's going to have, like, a hard end. But for people who want that kind of driven, directed single-player experience... that town hall building section provides that. So it actually, it solves some of the issues of kind of the Harvest Moon series.
Can you put your wife's dead body into the walls of the town hall?
No. This is not an Edgar Allan Poe. Sorry.
Okay.
Only in the expansion.
But there's just like lots of fun little Easter eggs and cool ways in which you're rewarded for you know getting better. Like you can make your house bigger and you know it's just a fun little game that,
right.
that is constantly doling out nice little rewards and like I said activating different parts of the brain. Yeah. So
and there's some nice subtleties to it too. Like it's not just you get this level up for your fishing. Like there's some nice like storytelling elements that happen through the quests and getting to know the townspeople really does take some nuance. So it's kind of based on their gifts and their likes and dislikes. You definitely feel like you're interacting with like a well fleshed out RPG world.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's real fun. And for me, you know, it landed at number four because I think it offered a lot. But even it did alleviate some of those issues, you know, kind of around not having a focused experience in a game like that. But I think that it still eventually lost its allure. I mean, I think that it was always pleasant, but it never like hit. It never hit the high notes that, you know, a more kind of guided experience might hit.
Hmm.
So for me, I think that's what prevented it from reaching the absolute top spot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what it did really well. And I've spent a long time with it in the early year, and it was really just, it really did a lot of good for me. So it, you know, it kind of landed in the upper tier of the list, but still a little bit more towards the middle.
Yeah. Yep, same thing for me, top end of my list. I love playing it. It just it requires a certain amount of dedication to go do it. I can jump in and kind of play around in it, but I also kind of feel like I'm doing it a disservice by not giving it my full attention. So as a game where I can just kind of like turn my brain off and play, this is not one because of, you know, all the different objectives and kind of the planning side. Yes, you can forgo all the planning and just say, I'm going to be a fishing guy. But I want to, you know, kind of maximize what I'm doing and make the best of my experience and, you know, win or whatever. So
the days go by really fast.
They do.
It can be tough to get used to.
Yeah. So either you kind of zen, like set that all aside, or you kind of... you know, come to a methodology and plan of attack that you want to approach each day with. And that's where, for me...
there is a zen in that, though.
Oh, there is. Like, the routine, for sure.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to say, like, the music in that game is freaking sublime.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Great music.
Yeah.
Perfectly tuned to the environment and the kind of ambiance.
Yep. But...
cool.
Yeah, I didn't finish it. Or get through the 2 years, so that's why it kind of may have been higher on my list if I did, but I absolutely love the experience, and I will continue to go back and pick away at a few days every once in a while when I have some free time that's stress-free to go do it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I got pretty close. I think I only need a few more items to finish up the town hall, but I'm not quite there yet. I just have a few more things, but I feel like I got a really good sense of kind of what it's all about. So.
Right on.
I definitely finished my number one. That's all I'm going to say, Griff.
Okay.
Me too.
But Jamie, do you want to choose something and chat about it since Griffin and I have kind of stolen the spotlight for a bit here?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Why don't I talk about my number three, Oxenfree?
Yes, please. I'm very curious.
Which I think is fantastic. It is a... puzzle game. I guess you could describe it as a walking sim, but when people say walking sim, do they mostly mean like third or first person or third person 3D worlds? Is that what a walking sim really is?
Walking sim to me means there's like no puzzles. You just explore a world and pick up objects.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess this has puzzles.
It's like reading a book.
It's like reading
nerds.
A book.
It's like listening to a book on tape.
It's
like
so,
watching
a
book on... Okay.
So that, then I would say this is a puzzle game. There are actual, like, slight game mechanics that you use, and you do solve some light puzzles. But mostly it is a game focused on conversations, and the conversations play out in a way that we've come to expect from a lot of games over the, you know, last couple of years. You have... a conversation is playing out, and you have three dialogue options. that you can choose, and you choose one, and you kind of craft your in-game personality that way. But the thing that sets it apart is I think the writing is superb, among the best writing that I've ever seen in a video game. And I think that the voice acting is on par with that writing. And the writing and the voice acting come together in a really amazing way and do something that I've never seen in a game, at least not done really well, which is that right from the get-go, Oxenfree is one giant conversation that continues throughout the game and is nonstop and super fast.
Huh.
So characters are
talking.
So
it's Gilmore Girls.
Exactly. Basically. I'm just all about that. Gilmore Girl.
Can we compare every game on all of our list to Gilmore Girls?
For real, though, I loved the new Gilmore Girls so much. And I'm watching the original series now because I can't stop.
But, do you like the French guy?
The French guy's amazing.
I can't remember his name right now. It's like Michel or something.
It is Michel. It's amazing. Oh, but man. I can't remember playing a game where
I just fell asleep while you guys were talking about Gilmore Girls again. Oh, jeez.
I thought you were being stabbed or something. No, it's really cool being really enmeshed in these characters' lives, like, at such a breakneck pace from the get-go, and you have to choose your conversation choices quickly because you're gonna run out of time, and then the choices kind of fade away. And, this game has everything that I kind of like in a setting. It's an abandoned island, and there's a question of whether or not there are ghosts on the island. There's old abandoned military stations on the island. I'm kind of trying to be vague in terms of the story and the setting because I don't want to give anything away. But I just think it's a fantastically fine-tuned like 3 or 4 hour experience with some of the best writing I've ever seen in a game. It's 2D, but I was terrified at times, like the hair was standing up on the back of my neck. And, I would recommend anyone try it out.
My interest has definitely peaked.
Yeah.
I've heard good things, and I heard there's a great soundtrack to it too.
Ooh.
You know what? I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think there's any music in it. Is there any music in it? Yes, there is. I think you can buy a soundtrack, so there's probably music in it.
What?
But I do not remember. Yeah, you can buy the music. I do not remember hearing a single song in the entire game.
So much pop.
I think I heard it was described as if Grant Kirkhope from Rare Games made a Metroid game. So, like, ambient, hoinky, poinky, doinky, boinky.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So there's a lot of ambient noises that I guess might be songs, but I was just hearing as ambient noises that really add to the feel of the game. Mm. And I think, if not... I think the reason why I was actually legitimately terrified at times in this 2D sprite-based, or not sprite-based, but this 2D game was because of these really eerie noises and just the sound design in general. I can't talk about it without spoiling anything, but it's fantastic.
How does the music compare to Trent Reznor's oft-used magnum opus Ghosts? And also the guitar players in the Gilmore Girls revival.
I think if you took those two things and you meshed them together, this would be right in the middle.
All right, excellent.
Jamie, I got a serious question for you right now. Do you think that if you were to tell us something that's spoiler-ish, it would pique our interest more? Or is it we just have to play and it's that reveal is worth so much that you can't?
I don't know. The actual framing, the actual narrative is good, but it's not what makes the game, in my mind, superb. It's not what puts it at number three. What puts it at number three is like the interpersonal relationships between the characters. So I guess I'll tell you a little bit. I won't give too much away. It's a coming of age story. You play a girl who is in high school.
Was her name Rory?
Her name is Rory. Uh-huh. Oh my god, I'm seeing the connections now. It's kind of freaky.
Wait.
So you Your mom remarries. So
is her real name Lorelei?
And then there's this other guy named Logan.
No. So, your mom remarries and you have a new stepbrother. And as a way... Yep. Fuck you guys.
I did a quick Wikipedia search of Gilmore Girls, and now I know all the jokes.
Okay, so I'm going to continue talking, and just try not to laugh, because the more I say, the more you're going to be like, wow, this
when
is Gilmore
Girls.
When
you're out on the road.
Feeling lonely. So she goes with one guy who may or may not be a love interest, and her new stepbrother who may or may not be a love interest.
Whoa.
To this island to get
featured on
with.
Brezzers.
She goes with her stepbrother and some friends to an island to get drunk because they're in high school. And when they get to an island, you discover that using this two-way radio that your friend brings, you can receive strange audio signals from what may or may not be the abandoned military station and or a downed submarine on the island. And so weird things start happening to you and your friends, and the only way that you can interact with the world or with them is through your radio, and it's really creepy at times and really fascinating and
is
wonderful little
at the
world.
End that you wake up and you've consumed between the two of you one bottle of Mike's Hard Lemonade and you fell asleep.
Yep.
All right, just checking.
I feel like I've talked way too long about this game, but
no,
it's a
just
really good one.
This sounds really cool. So your primary mode of interaction is just through the radio?
So if you're playing with a controller as I did, you press one trigger button to open up the radio frequency bar, and then you basically just tilt around with the stick until you hit on a frequency that something comes in on, and that's the only way that you get information or interact with the world.
Is it kind of like Mass Effect, where you pull the left trigger to decide to marry a love interest, or pull the right trigger to not marry
just
a love
murder
interest?
Them. Bust a cap in their ass.
When do you graduate from Yale?
Jamie?
What?
Oh God, he's gone.
I'm just reading the Wikipedia on Gilmore Girls right now. This show is fascinating, guys.
So this sounds cool. So you interact just through the radio, and then
I mean, you do other things. There are other puzzles, like you're actually moving around the world, and there are some. But the vast majority of the time, using your radio to channel either like ghosts or something, and that's what you find out over the course of the game.
It's the opposite. Nobody should have freed them.
Nobody.
All right. Well, that sounds cool. And so for you, the reason it stood out was just because you felt like the dialogue was so dense and so, like, there's, like, a great, like, through line of dialogue from start to finish, or what?
Yes, and unlike Gilmore Girls, where every character speaks like a really well-read 35-year-old editor at the New York Times, I felt like the characters in Oxenfree speak like actual teenagers, or what I think actual teenagers speak like, and have concerns and worldviews that are commensurate with those of an actual teenager.
So basically everyone just calls everyone else gay all the time.
Yeah. It's a lot of teabagging and wedgies.
Yep.
All right.
A lot of dabbing. Just dabbing for days. Just don't stop dabbing.
Yeah, how come that didn't get onto the Game of the Year list? Dabbing, Game of the Year, 2016. Right?
All right, shut it all down. Shut it all down.
We figured we
did
it.
Keep the ship sailing.
We did it.
That sounds cool, though. You definitely have excited me. I am about to add it to my wish list as we speak.
And you can knock it out like in one sitting. It's exactly as long as it should be. I think you guys should definitely try it, especially for right now. It's $2.50 on Steam.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
yeah,
it's $4.99.
That's a laughable.
That's still pretty damn good.
All right.
It's not $4.99. I'm literally looking at it right now. It's $2.49. No,
are you sure
I'm
that's
not.
Because
no.
That's the soundtrack
that's
that you didn't buy?
That is the soundtrack.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Moving right along.
Mm-hmm.
So we've heard all about Oxenfree, which is a game none of us have discussed on the podcast before, so give it a little extra time. Griff, you want to talk about something?
Yeah. Sure. Boy, what to take here. Why don't I just talk... Oh, boy. Okay, so while it's early, let's talk about Final Fantasy XV. One of the best games that came out this year.
So, my hour of gameplay...
Against all odds.
You've only played an hour?
Maybe two, three.
Four, five. You've definitely played at least 6 hours, like 100%.
No. I haven't even finished the first chapter, dude.
Wow, really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so...
Moving right along. So tell me, Griff, what makes this game fun? Because I think I know some of the things that make it fun, but I also feel like I already know some of the things that are just going to make it terrible.
Okay, so... I guess Final Fantasy XV is a complex beast, and that's probably why I enjoy it so much, and that's why I put it at the 4 slot. Like, it's not higher, it's not lower, but what I am really enjoying about this game is... Well, actually, here, I'm going to stop here for a second. Why don't you guys just tell me your experiences. Have either of you played any Final Fantasy XV? Jeff, you said yes. Jamie?
Yeah. Why don't... And while I'm saying what I'm about to say, Griff, why don't you... Why don't you get off and on? Because you're robot.
Yeah, but I'll... I tried to do that very cleverly, but thank you, asshole, for just blowing that whole thing. You guys were about all the goddamn time, and I just deal with it, okay?
Yeah, I didn't say a word. Hey, so I can talk about my experience real quick, because I already know what I want to say.
Okay.
So, what I love about Final Fantasy XV are those goddamn diners. Everything about them is the best. Yeah. They are so, like, Japan's idea of what an American diner is. They just stroll in the front door, there's no one there, they sprawl out on the bar seats... Just, like, chat up the owner of the bar, and he's like, hey, let me tell you about the hunts that are happening and mark points of interest on your map. Here, have Harry's fries. Or no, fucking Kenny's fries are advertised across the land.
Oh, my God.
And then you order Kenny's fries, and then Ignis is like, I've got it. A recipe. And it's fucking Kenny's fries.
That was a great Ignis, by the way. Holy crap.
It's so goddamn good. And he snaps his little finger. And then...
Did you notice that Forrest Whitaker is the cook at the first diner?
Is it Forrest Whitaker or is it Kanye West?
All right, guys. Slow down. They don't all look the same. Jesus Christ.
The first one is definitely Forrest Whitaker.
No, you're a liar.
Anyway, Kanye. I feel like Kanye would be a Final Fantasy character.
Well, without going into the pictures that have surfaced recently... So the reason why Final Fantasy XV is so good for me is probably one of the reasons why I think you guys both said you don't care for it, and I actually do really like the kind of schizophrenia of it and the undirected nature of the game, where so many of the things that I didn't like about previous Final Fantasy entries, like the hunt system or just traveling around aimlessly and taking forever to actually meet any goals, like, those things were kind of tedious and frustrating, and in this game, they just kind of work for me. There are milestones that drive the plot along, but never does it feel like in so many other open world quote-unquote games that you're on a deadline. And, you know, there's a couple moments in the game when reality kind of sets in, and the way that the bros react to it is better than you would expect from a, you know, Japanese RPG, where they're like, oh shit, like, we just can't be fun-loving dudes anymore. This is serious business. So, in narrative-wise, everything kind of works, which is very abnormal in an open-world game. So I think it deserves a lot of praise for that. On the other hand, there's a lot of other things that are good about the game that kind of need some loving. You know, the combat is really, really fun if you're playing against, like, a single enemy, but once you're getting into the hordes of enemies, it's very complicated, and doesn't work well because it's more of a battle against the camera. Ha 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 ha.
Ho ho!
Uh-huh. But there's just so many little pieces that work so well. Like, Jeff, you're saying the diners, like, the driving with the car is fine. It's nice. Like,
the U-turns are incredible.
Yeah. The actual driving of it is, like, laughable. But, you know, the story beats are also kind of, like, murky and confusing. Like, any character's motivation seems to be up in the air. But just in terms of, like, these four dudes that get a... I don't know. It feels like a more genuine party than a Final Fantasy game has ever had before.
I think Prompto may actually be the best character.
Prompto is actually a really cool character, which I think says a lot for Final Fantasy XV.
All the other characters are bad.
No, how dare you. Gladiolus is wonderful.
Gladiolus is the worst.
No, he is perfect in every way.
Did you do the stupid foot race with him?
Yeah.
I hated it so much.
Regardless of how good the characters may or may not be, I can't tell because the voice acting is so painful. It's the absolute worst.
I don't know if that's true at all.
I think they're very anime, but I kind of like Prompto. He's grown on me in a big way.
I think all the characters are just fine.
None of the dialogue is delivered anywhere near anything natural. Like, everything they say is so oddly phrased and everything is so disjointed. And
speaking of natural, their street clothing,
I would say, Jamie, I think there's a good, so I don't know how far either of you guys got in the game, but there's two big moments I think that kind of reset the tone of the game. And the first is after the first major chapter when the capital city kind of, you know, falls or whatever, and that is kind of the end of the vacation. And then there's another point, I think...
Oh, really? Because immediately after that, I go on, like, a date with a girl. Oh, was that before?
Oh, Jamie, maybe you're roboting.
Griffin, Jesus. We're cutting you off, Griff.
All right.
You find out your dad dies, mm-hmm. and then you have a girl show you around a city, and then she's like, is this a date? Oh, you're getting married, though. It's not really a date. Also, you're hanging out with my brother, 24/7. I don't understand any of the relationships in that game.
Basically, you're the main character and all the girls want to fuck you.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just show you their boobs.
I just don't understand that any character's motivation in the game. Like, literally, out of nowhere, a guy just shows up and he's like, let's go to these caves and you can get a sword and it'll stab you and then you'll have the sword and it's a magic sword.
My favorite character, who I did not think would be recurring, Dave the Hunter. How is that a recurring?
Dave the Hunter's teeth are so white and so giant. God damn it!
No, but I really actually enjoyed a number of pieces of what I played. I liked the feel of traveling from place to place in the car. I think the game does a very Japanese thing of like building rituals around camping and cooking your meals, and like fishing is terrible, which is weird.
I don't know about that.
I thought it was awful, but maybe it gets better.
Fishing is just fine.
Okay. But you know, it does a good job with, you know, driving to your destinations, feels... It just kind of fleshes out the world a little bit for me, that kind of stuff. Especially when it just becomes part of the flow. I think the combat is actually... What I played of it seemed pretty fun. Like, getting into big battles, there's actually some real management there, and the skills have real effects on combat. It's not quite as, like, dumb as I thought it would be, which is nice. So I could see why it would have an appeal. Plot-wise, it really was not grabbing me, but I still want to play it. So.
Well, you should. It's very good. Like I was going to say, once around Chapter 4 or so, there's some pretty good character motivation moments that are intense and kind of give some some gravity to some of the people in your party. And they're you know, you stumble upon these camping things where you kind of get to know your friends a little bit better. I understand there's a lot to be found from the anime and shit before it, which, you know, is garbage. But I really think there is actually some good stuff in the game for character development. And I don't know. I'm really loving the game. And maybe there's just part of it that there are so many pieces that keep me engaged. Like Jeff, you said, the rituals of the camping, like the food, like everybody's, you know, constantly leveling up in their own areas. Prompto's nonstop selfie pictures that he's taking.
Yeah, those are cool. I actually quite like those.
Yeah. The new characters that get introduced that don't make any sense, but it's like, hey, this is a JRPG. That's how things go. I'm having a great time, and I'm going to keep playing it.
I'm going to keep playing it too. I give it a hard time because there are just some things about that genre that I'm finding harder and harder to take as I get older, I guess. But I mean, I love the loop of hunting and then camping. I think all of the characters are really interesting. I just think that they're such archetypes, and there's no nuance to them, but maybe that's just part and parcel of that genre.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely going to play more. I'm excited to play more. I do think it's a good game. I need to get over the things that are hiccups for me.
Yeah, I feel you on that, Jamie. But Griff, I can also see like the seeds of what I would love, so I want to give it a shot. And your endorsement of it is very interesting, because I know you can be very fickle about that kind of stuff. So if you really were drawn to it, then I'm excited.
Yeah, as a person who typically gets dissuaded by anime nonsense, I'm having a great time with this whole ball of anime nonsense.
Griffin, is this the game that made you Japan again?
Suki Desne or whatever.
There's a lot of grunting, like, and sighing. Like, when he fills up his car, he's like, like, why? just fill up the car.
What do you know about filling up the gasoline valve in a car, Jamie, as a person that lives in New Jersey?
Yeah, I was going to say, there's one thing my mom talks about nonstop. It's how New Jersey has self-served or full-service gas.
Is that what you have to do when you fill it up? You have to go, huh?
How would you know?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Were you there, Jamie?
Were you there? Did you finish pumping the gas, or did you just quit before the hinterlands?
We gotta keep this doom train rolling.
Mm.
See what I did there?
Ooh.
It's a little Final Fantasy joke for all the astute listeners out there.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, I guess it's back to you then, right?
Yeah, I'm going to take this time to plug Valhalla, and I'm going to try to get through it kind of quick. I don't think either of you guys really touched it. Is that true?
I just bought it on the sale.
Unfortunately, I didn't play it, yeah.
So Valhalla is a very, like, pretty straight-up visual novel game, but it is my kind of visual novel because it's set in a bar in a cyberpunk dystopian future. Which just hits all the notes that I want. basically, the gameplay loop is people come in, they request drinks. Usually, they're pretty straightforward requests. Every once in a while, the game throws you curveballs, which are really annoying. But they're never that bad. And you just serve them and watch the story unfold. And it's very slice of life. It kind of wears its Japanese influences on its sleeve, but it doesn't feel super anime. The characters are all actual humans. I mean, it every once in a while it kind of veers into slightly cheesy territory, but I think that the writing is overall quite solid. And they handle all manner of topics with a great deal of respect. A lot of the game is about relationships and attraction and romance, but it doesn't feel like boobies. It feels like romance and nice. Longing. Like, the game manages to, like, pull off, like, you know, sexuality without being too gross about it or weird.
So definitely one step above, like, Stardew Valley's relationship stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're not making choices about these relationships, really. It's not that kind of game, because visual novels aren't usually about meaningful choices that really influence the plot. This is more just about watching the story unfold and being in that world. And there's some weird little quirks, which I'm actually not a super huge fan of. Like, you can set your own soundtrack for the day, which is really cool, but it's also tedious to do, because you have to, like, choose all the songs, and the interface for doing that is a little awkward. But it is a cool idea, and if you have kind of... if you want to set songs to match the lead character's mood, that can be pretty cool. Also, the lead character has a cat that she provides the voice for. So she has conversations with her cat at home and then responds as her cat. this game is like Gilmore Girls in that there's a lot of talking in it.
I'm very excited. We played it together at PAX, and I really enjoyed what I...
we did. And Streaming Chan is in it. Streaming Chan is a character who broadcasts her life 24/7. And you can pay $100 for the naughty bits, but again, when they do that, it's like it doesn't come off stupid. Like, it actually, there's a story behind Streaming Chan, and Streaming Chan is, like, an interesting character. So I think it walks the line pretty well without ever veering too hard into, like, cheesecake, which is cool. And the story is interesting. There's some great intrigue, some hacking, you know, all that wonderful cyberpunk. There's talking Shiba Inus.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Wearing sunglasses, who drink too much.
Must play for Griff.
There's amazing 90s. Oh, my God. Oh, there's some... Jamie is vandalizing my document, and there's some wonderful pictures in it of people from Gilmore Girls. Wow. So, yeah, it's a good game, and I think it's more visual novel-y than, like, Phoenix Wright, which is probably the series that got me into the world of visual novels. But it's real good, and the story is nice, and the world is very cool, and there's some neat characters. And mixing the drinks in between, which is kind of a simple little mini-game, but it's pretty hard to fuck up. It's a nice little diversion, so I recommend.
And it's on Steam sale right now, right?
Yep, and they're adding a new prologue chapter, I guess, which is going to come to the Vita version as well.
Cool.
Which is still happening, apparently. So, yeah, it's real good. I think the reason it wasn't higher on my list is because it really lacks for interactive elements, which isn't a huge problem, but, you know, it's a reading game. You know, it's not like a game with a lot of novel activities involved. So I feel like it was great for the genre, but I wouldn't necessarily want to put it any higher than number 8.
Jeff, I remember you talking about this on the podcast before, and I think you said, like, the time spent with it was maybe a little excessive for not what it was delivering, but, like, it was something that you kind of wished you could have on a portable means and less of on a computer. So I am interested in the Vita version. Would that be a better way to go?
I think it's a matter of whether or not they can get the drink mixing interface down, but I think the Vita would be a great platform. I mean, the Vita is a good visual novel platform, and I'm sure they've got some solutions in place for mixing drinks. So yes, I do think it would be good on Vita, and it's definitely still coming, so...
Okay.
I think it would be a good platform for that. I think I got a little winded towards the end, mostly just because I was playing it every day, and if you play too much of a game that centers around reading, you can get a little burned out. It pretty much ended when I was like, okay, I'm ready for this to end.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's a story. I don't think it overstays its welcome.
Nice. Good. So,
yeah. Take it away with someone else.
Jimmy's turn.
Let's see. How about I'll talk about Dishonored 2 and why I like that game and why it's opened up for me. And I'll start by saying why I initially thought I would hate it. The game opens up, and the story, which I, just from what I'd heard prior to the game releasing, I thought would really, like, enthrall me, was delivered, at least initially, in such a heavy-handed and info-dump kind of way right off the beginning of the game that turned me off.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the fact that I have a really beefy PC and the game was just running terribly, and I know that really shouldn't be too much of a factor in regards to, like, critically looking at a game, but it really does. I mean, it was terrible. It really got in the way. And so there was that. And then also the first, I would say, two kind of areas in that game are really bland, really uninspired, and do not show off what that game has to offer. If you keep going in Uncharted, in Dishonored 2, you'll see that it really opens up, and oh my god, guys, that game, Dishonored 2, has some of the best stealth level design I have ever seen in a game. So much fun. Just finding the perfect route. There is every imaginable route through these levels. Like, if you wanna go in guns blazing through the front door, you can. And it's possible if you spec out your character in a certain way and if you're smart. And the level is designed so that you can do that. If you want to sneak in from underground, sneaking through sewers, transforming yourself into like a spectral being so that you can go through rat tunnels, coming up to the basement, you can do that. If you want to fly across rooftops, sneak in through a window, you can do that. These levels are, especially in the later parts of the game, I'm almost finished with it, are really huge. There's a million ways to go about. I usually, just the way I play, I tend to enter high and leave low, so I usually come in through the roof and leave, like, I like to leave through the front door because it makes me feel like a badass. Like, I've incapacitated everyone.
I'm taking this very sexually. To be clear.
And these levels are just, not only are they thought out in terms of their design and where you go and where the enemies are placed, I just can't speak enough for the art design in each of these levels. Every chair, every cup, every even flower, piece of fruit is like designed to fit the aesthetic of this world. It's really just a shame that, and I've played around with the settings in this game, that doesn't really come through unless you're running on ultra fucking settings. It's really unfortunate. If you turn down the settings, like if you turn down the textures to medium or whatever, you lose a lot of the character of the world, which I think is horrendous. And I noticed this because I was watching a lot of Let's Plays with people playing on PS4, and I was like, that's not the game that I'm playing. The lighting in the game makes a huge difference. There are levels in the game where there are like particle effects that will happen periodically, like a dust storm, and it will change the entire level. And I've seen people play it on PS4, and it just looks terrible. Yeah, so playing it on PC it's unique. I can't think of another game that seems so different because I think the aesthetic of that game, that steampunky kind of thing, is such a huge part of it, and you're really not getting all of it unless you're lucky enough to have a beefy PC.
I can think of one game that is actually a lot better on PC, which is all of them. Boom.
And the last thing I'll say about this game, I don't want to talk about it too long. The last thing I'll say is that as you continue, the story does get so much more nuanced. There's so much more to it than I imagined. Characters which I really thought were like, you know, just one way, like just an archetype, really kind of get fleshed out, and your motivations get fleshed out. And I think that it's worth suffering through the first couple stages to see what it has to offer. But Griff, I'm curious to know more about why you hated it.
Well, I think when we talked in the last podcast, I think I made my opinions pretty clear on it, which is just, I don't like the movement. I don't like the trial and error nature of it. I'm not crazy about the stealth stuff that the game has. And I was actually going to ask you, Jamie, did you play it as both characters, or did you choose one in particular?
I'm only playing it as Emily.
Okay.
And a big thing that I can do, which unfortunately you can't, another thing about playing it on the PC is that I can save scum, whereas when you die or load, it takes forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm save scumming my way through this game. I'm saving literally every 30 to 45 seconds.
Yeah, and I think that was part of my frustration with the game is, you know, you get into a scenario where you're like, wow, this is a really fascinating like stealth thing where I want to do this cool thing where I, you know, phase over here and enchant this person to be fascinated with this thing and then link them to this thing and then stealth kill that person and that person dies. And I want to plan my stealth route and then I goof it and then whoops, now it's you know, another 3 minutes until I can get back to where I was again. And then, again, happens the same thing. Oops, something else happened. And that's one of my biggest frustrations.
Yeah, I'm playing this game, the way I'm playing it, it reminds me of Sands of Time, because I'm literally, like, rewinding constantly. and that's the way that you get to have fun with it, because that's the way that you get to pull off these crazy things, where you link all these enemies together, send a decoy of yourself out, and they all follow the decoy off of a ledge, and like that's the only way that you get to pull off weird things like that, is by trial and error, and you can't do that if you got 3 minute load times. So.
Griffin, do you know what SSD stands for?
Is it
Superior Storage Device?
Nice. I thought it was something Sonic? Is it Sonic Special Dimension?
Supersonic racing, trying to get your feet back on the ground. Cool. I really want to play Dishonored too, because I really enjoyed Dishonored. And it's exciting to hear that you have all these tools available, because that just sounds super neat. And it sounds a lot more involved in terms of what you can do than Dishonored, which really, for me, the only thing that set Dishonored apart was the warp, the blink ability. But this sounds like you can do a lot more.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff that you can do. It's cool. I like turning into a shadow beast and like possessing people and knocking them out. And then I also like making a doppelganger of myself, forcing one character to follow the doppelganger, but then I've linked the minds of many of them, so then they all follow the doppelganger, even if they don't want to or wouldn't normally.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of
cool.
So
do you go lethal, or do you try to play non-lethal? Because I usually play those games non-lethal.
I play absolutely non-lethal.
Okay, but you can still play with fun toys.
Yes.
Non-lethal. Okay, that excites me. And where did it land on your list again, Jamie?
It is at...
Number 7, right?
7.
Mm-hmm. And the reason it wasn't higher is just because why?
Honestly, just because of the strength of the other games this year. I'm really obsessed with that game. Like, I can't stop thinking about it right now. I'm going to play it when we're done, probably.
It's, that excites me, because I own it, and I have not loaded it yet. Hey, guys, remember The Last Guardian, which is still in its shrink wrap?
No, I don't remember it, because it never came out.
Is it better that way for you, Griff?
No, I actually have the game. I'm meaning to play it here shortly, as soon as I can actually compensate from some free time for my life.
Can we have a second Game of the Year podcast after I've played all the other games of the year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's truck onwards. Griff, you do something.
Sure. That's fine. I will talk about... let me just get a couple things out of the way. Well, I guess I got Final Fantasy out of the way. So, I want to talk to you about something that I have never talked about before, which is... that's not true. Let me just say this. Final Fantasy... Street Fighter V, I put on my list, and I think I want to talk about that just quickly, and that's... Everything that that game promised when it came out was humongously disappointing. Like, the story that... Or the story mode that was supposed to kind of unfurl over the course of the year, like, the modes that would allow you to earn coins to then cash in to get additional, like, skins and levels and characters and whatnot. All of those features that were put in place that sounded really, really cool initially have just really kind of shit the bed and have been massively underwhelming. But, on the other hand, Street Fighter V has been super fun for me. Like, I love playing Street Fighter game. The matchmaking, though a little frustrating with the character select side of things, is still good because I'm not gonna jump around to different characters when I'm playing online. I'll kind of stick with my main, and if I want to try something else, I'll try something else. And what they did launch as a story mode was nowhere near the levels of, like, Mortal Kombat, but it's getting there, I guess. And the new systems that they put in Street Fighter V were fun. The taking away the ultras is, I think, for the best. There is one functionality of the game that I think I'm lacking in capacity to understand. And I feel like that's more of a deficit on me and less on the game. But on that same side of the coin, they didn't do a really good job of creating, like, a tutorial mode. But again, all that being said, I've had a great time playing Street Fighter V, and it's good to get back into a Street Fighter and see favorite characters and, like, be introduced into new people and kind of just, like, have that fire lit again for why I love fighting games. So that's kind of a weird one on my list, and I think going forward here with the rest of our games, it's going to get pretty intense. And honestly, for a lot of the things on my list, I don't want to talk too much more about them, since I think I've done them justice to the course of the year.
And I think that maybe we should push through some of the stuff that is unique to our lists, that's not going to be covered, before we kind of, you know, touch on the stuff that was high up and why it got there. Griff, you got Street Fighter V out of the way, which neither of us really cared about. Jamie, did you have something you wanted to plug real quick that neither of us really gave any attention to?
Sure. I think I've already talked about Hyper Light Drifter. Do either of you have Gears of War 4 on your list?
Nope. We do not.
So yeah, I'll talk about that real quick. Similar to Dishonored 2, the reason why...
Come on!
What?
It's on, like, 10 shit tons of lists.
You don't want me to talk about it?
Come on.
He's just being Griffin. Carry on, Jamie.
did you not even shit my tomato farms? Didn't you even play this game?
Yes, are you being Marcus right now?
Yeah, I was. That was my Marcus impressions.
Okay, gotcha. I thought that's what it
How were
be.
They?
They were good. They were
he
damn
has,
good.
He has tomato farms.
Yeah, man.
He does.
Bender?
Yep.
It's Bender, right?
Yep.
All right.
Really? That the voice
Joe, Joe DiMaggio? John DiMaggio?
John DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio is a different individual.
Whatever. Get a better, get a different last name then, dude.
Anywho.
Okay, Gears of War 4, real quick.
The saddest part was when Dom had to kill his wife.
I can't even get a word fucking out.
Sorry, guys. Carry on, Jamie.
Okay, this game continues the tradition of characters not knowing how to deal with people they love other than killing them, because that's what you do at the end of the game. I'm not afraid to spoil that.
You killed Dom's wife again?
No, the new character, the girl, kills her mom.
Oh, I thought you had to kill Marcus.
No, no.
Does
no,
she
no.
kill Mamiya, or?
She. What does is
mom,
happening?
Does mom turn into a giant alien?
Is mom the boss of Gears of War 3?
No, mom is captured in the middle of the game and then gets, like, hived. And then to save her, you have to cut her free.
Mm.
And then she dies. Anyway, this game features an African American character who is only there to go, yeah!
Already it's, better than Barrett.
It's true. Level design in this game is fantastic. I have never played a Gears of War game and enjoyed it. I actually played a lot of Gears of War 1 with my cousins, and I hated it thoroughly.
Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, Griffin. I know you like it.
No, I don't like Gears of War 1. I do not like that game.
Okay, yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, so I absolutely hated that game, and I never thought I would like a game like this. I just think that they made it a little bit faster. They made the levels, like, pristine. And they added just the right amount of variety in the game. You go back and forth between fighting these robot characters and the aliens, and there's a good variety there. You go back and forth between vehicle segments and basically piloting these mechs and piloting these machines, and there's just so much variety. The pacing is excellent. Great game. Even if you hate it, even if you hate the series, I would just highly recommend picking it up maybe when it's on sale.
Or when
really
you
good
purchase
entry.
Your graphics card. Yeah. And the code is still sitting on your desk.
Oh yeah, you have that. You should try it. You might like it.
I may well, yeah. Cool. It seems like it's a bit of a sleeper. It seemed like people really liked it. It just hasn't really registered for a lot of people. I think Games for Windows Live was or whatever the fuck it's called. The Windows Store debacle was part of that.
Yep. Yeah, Jeff, I definitely think you're right there. Like, there's some, like, I think that with all the flubs that happened with the Microsoft games this year, the high points that were Gears of War 4 kind of got dogpiled on.
Yeah, and Forza Horizon 3 as well, I think, had some issues on the Windows Store, did it not?
Yeah, that so. And what was the time game with Charlie from Lost?
Oh, Quantum Break.
Yeah, and then ReCore. There was
Jesus
it wasn't
Christ,
a great
a
year
games
for
came out this year.
For the Xbox.
Forza well, 3 it was a terrible was. Forza 3 was a terrible port, like it was not optimized in addition to the Windows Store crap, whereas Gears of War 4 is a fantastic port. It can run on ultra settings on like a 1050. It's a really good port. It's just it's hampered by the Windows Store awfulness.
Jeff, can you explain to me what a 1050 is?
Well, you know when Tony
is that like
Hawk...
a 10-4, good buddy?
Oh wait, no, hold on. It's not Tony Hawk. It's Sean White. When Sean White is snowboarding and he goes for the 1080,
the tomato.
But he goes for the tomato, but then at the last minute he wipes out. That's a 1050.
Oh, that's a huge bummer.
Moving to the other side of the spectrum, going from computer games to mobile games, I'm the only person to put Super Mario Run on this list. Probably because I didn't play as many games as you guys. But I like Super Mario Run. I have a real soft spot for Mario games, and I think this is a good mobile Mario game. I think that, Griffin, it looks like you beat the whole game, nope. But you didn't get the coins, right?
I got to like a 4 or something. I forget, 5-1. I don't know. I feel like I have like 2 or 3 more worlds left.
Okay. Well, you got to get the coins. This game, it's like every other Mario game, in that if you just play through it now, like, the main game of Mario is just not hard anymore. But the challenge comes in collecting all the shit. So, getting the 5 coins for me has been really addictive. And
oh, yeah, for sure. Getting the special coins.
Yeah, yeah. And what I I don't give a shit about gold coins. I'm talking about the purple, pink, and black.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cool thing is, so there's 24 levels. This is a single player mode. I'll talk about the Toad Rush and shit in a minute. But there's 24 levels. But when you play them, you know, you have 5 coins you need to get in the level, and then when you do that, it unlocks a more challenging set of coins. And the cool thing about the more challenging set is not only does it change the location of the coins, but it also adds new hazards and sometimes reconfigures the levels. So it actually doesn't feel like only 24 levels. It actually feels more like maybe 72 levels or at least like 50 levels, because there are real significant changes that can actually change the way you play through the level. And again, this is all one-button gameplay, so it's really cool that they had the design chops to use these spaces in 3 different ways and add and modify elements of the levels to change the feel of the level. And I'm just having a lot of fun with it. You know, it's great to sit down with my iPad and tap away with Mario, which is just... That's what I do every night. So I really like the single player mode. Toad Rush is fine. I don't really care that much about it, but it can be fun to race people sometimes and try to get higher points than them, and it's got a certain appeal to it. But I'm much more drawn to the single player mode, and I think they could have taken Mobile Mario in a lot of directions. But I think where they landed is great. I think it's respectful to the property. It's not free-to-play bullshit. I know investors are not happy about that. But I think it's great. I think it does a great job. I think it's accessible for newcomers, but the coin-collecting element of it gives the game some legs. And again, it remains to be seen whether the Toad Rally is worth my time. But, you know, it's probably my favorite mobile game this year. So it has that going for it. And I'm not counting 3DS, because I consider that a different platform. But, yeah, that is... There are so many goddamn pictures on here of Mads Mikkelsen. That is my take on Mario Run. And I don't think it's good enough to be any higher than 10, but I wanted it to be wrapped on the list, so that's why it's here. Another game, just because I have another game on here that neither of you guys put, I'm going to talk up Fire Emblem Fates real quick. I love me some Fire Emblem, and Fire Emblem Fates is a lot better than Fire Emblem Awakening in my eyes. It's a much harder game.
Agreed.
It fixes some of the brokenness of the old games. The plot is fine. your sisters all want to bang you, or your brothers all want to bang you, and it's weird. But it's cool. I played the dark version, Conquest. And I liked it. I liked playing kind of a pseudo-villainous character. They kind of take the easy road in making the character, like, not so evil. But I like being in the bad country and having to do some kind of somewhat questionable things. And I actually didn't get... I own both versions, but I didn't really finish the good version or the conclusion version. But I think if you choose just one, the Conquest version is really all you need. I had a lot of fun with it. It's a tough game. I played it on hard, and I was failing missions left and right.
So hard.
Yeah, it's really tough. But I had a great time with it. And, you know, I sunk a lot of hours into it, and I'll probably return to it at some point to finish off the other modes. So, good stuff.
Nice. I'm still kind of slogging through the baby version myself.
Yeah, so, Griff, do you have any other things that you have on your list that we don't have? Well, I have another one, too.
Well, I guess I think I've done Titanfall justice in previous talks, and I think Jamie, you kind of accidentally maybe spoiled one of the major high points of the game in its level design, and I love the multiplayer, which is, you know, few and far between for me for first person shooters that I really, really get into on like a competitive level. So I think that I've said everything I want to say about Titanfall 2, and why it sits where it does for me. Things that don't really match. It's you know, I think I did the same thing for Call of Duty. I made a case. I said what I needed to say a couple podcasts ago.
Yeah. You did? For Call of Duty? I don't remember you talking about Call of Duty.
I do. So.
Oh. Well, remind me, what about Infinite Warfare? Because that's a game that I just have not heard people talking about. What is it about it that made you care, Griffin?
What made me care about it? It deviates from the... I think that maybe this will jog your memory. It deviates from the Call of Duty mold so profoundly that in any other year when there weren't so many other good first-person shooters out, this would have ranked so much higher. With its weird open-world structure and its ability to...
Oh, that's right. You did talk about the open world.
Yeah, like, you can navigate, you have freedom of mission movement. Even in missions themselves, it's not freedom of you know, mission movement in the missions, but, you know, you'll be doing a ground campaign or something, and then your ship, you know, drops down, you go into orbit, or, you know, you're in orbit and you're fighting a dog, you're in a dogfight kind of situation, then you stop and exit from your ship and board a vessel and then kind of take it in from the inside in like a quarter crawl. So it's kind of taking all those tropes of an old Call of Duty campaign and then kind of reorganizing them into a more fascinating and fun experience. And it, you know, it's space, it's space and it's fun and it's crazy. And that's also what I really like about it.
Fair enough. But it sounds like, you know, it's overshadowed by other big shooters that release this
overshadowed
year.
Or fair. Overwatched by other games.
Oh, snap.
Snap.
Okay, well, that tells me that while you enjoyed it, I probably don't have to touch it.
No, you're good.
There are many other shooters that I should be touching.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk up another game, which is on my list, which is not on anyone else's list, because my list is weird. Owlboy. Did you guys play Owlboy at all?
Just a little bit.
No,
you
but
played a little bit.
You guys made a really good... You talked about it quite a bit on the last one.
Yeah, and I don't need to make a case for it again. I'll just say it's a wonderful passion project. It oozes charm. You know, it's got a great vibe. The mechanics of having, you know, this kind of passive character that is your gun that you throw around, that you have to pick up to fire is pretty cool. And it's a nice little Metroidvania.
Wait.
I really like it.
You have a character that is a gun, or you have additional party members that act as, like, a shooting turret?
You have party members that are turrets.
All right, forget it. Never mind. I got really excited there, yeah.
You're hoping that one of the characters would be a talking gun?
I thought it was like a Shadow of the Damned for a second.
Hey, kids! I'm Carl, the talking gun!
Yeah.
I represent the NRA! Obama's the devil! Yeah, that guy? He's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's a good character. Can you bring that back more often?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Who was your favorite character in Overwatch? Was it Carl the talking gun?
Mm-hmm. That's McCree's gun. I don't know if you guys knew that.
It's time to get high at noon and post these Facebook pictures of chemtrails.
it's a real good game, and I put it smack dab in the middle because I really enjoyed it, and I think it's really solid. It's got a lot of polish. It's really cute. I don't think it really revolutionizes in any serious way. It's just a fun little solid game. So that's why it landed where it did.
Nice. Yeah, I know you both talked about it quite a bit last time, and I'll be honest, it didn't really hit for me, but I know that it is a big deal out there right now. It kind of reminded me of like the fervor around Dust and Elysian Tale, where... Mm. You know, it's a passion project. It's very cool. It just, like, when I played it, I'm like, I can't do this. But I can still admit that it is very, very... It will work for a crowd that isn't me. That isn't the person that has, like half their list of first-person shooters.
You could probably masturbate to it.
Yeah.
Is that what you're gonna say?
Yeah, I mean, if I try hard enough.
No, it's good. And Griff, I think Dust and Elysian Tale is a pretty apt comparison. Just based on what I know about it, I haven't actually played too much of it, but it similar types of conversations, I think. So, but yeah, I think that's all the stuff on my list that doesn't occur on other people's lists. Jamie, you got anything else that isn't on our lists?
Virginia, but I talked a lot about that.
Meet Virginia.
I think that's about it.
All right. Well, let's clean up the rest of these guys then. Was Hitman on everyone's list?
Nope.
It was just on our list. Where is it for you, Jeff?
It's number 7 for me, and it landed there because I really enjoyed Hitman. But it's a sandbox game, and sandbox games can never be number 1 for me.
Yeah, exactly. It's at number 8 for me, so we're obviously on the same boat. I think it's like masterful.
It is. I mean, it's like kind of broken and like barely held together in some ways, but when it works wonderfully.
Yeah. there's a lot of, I think that it's the first game to really go episodic and really, really make it work.
Yeah, for sure. And with each new episode, like, take feedback in like a reasonable time frame, which I was actually quite impressed by.
Yeah, definitely.
It wasn't just like they were holding episodes and releasing them when they were, you know.
I like the elusive target stuff. I've done a couple of those. I find them really cool. I think that's a unique concept. I like the holiday stuff. Like, there's a Christmas thing.
Did you get Harry and Marv, the Wet Bandits?
Not yet. No, I do. I haven't played the Christmas one yet, but okay. I know that's the that's the thing. I also know there's a trophy for throwing bricks at them.
Yes.
like you do in Home Alone.
Yes. If you say keep the change, you filthy animal, to your computer mic, then you also get a trophy.
Nice. Wait, is that actually real?
No, it's not.
Oh,
is there a you guys think there's a talk boy in that level?
I hope so.
Do you think
those
that
are all the rage?
Is Donald Trump also in the sequel or no?
Oh no. Oh man, the seeds were planted then.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're on more or less the same page. Great stealth game. I think it is real fun to play. I think the disguise system on the whole works pretty well. It's easily broken, but it's kind of works because like it doesn't. I don't feel like there's any pretense of it being like a super balanced game. It's just like this fun little place to play around in, and they give you a bunch of sandboxes, and they're all fun.
Yeah.
So, and as Jamie said, really nail the episodic structure, which is a tough thing to do for a big game like that. But I think everyone liked it, and hey, season 2 is in the pipeline.
And I think what's really cool. Well, speaking of that, what I think is cool about that is they might just use the framework that they've already released for season 2, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also think that this is actually kind of an important game because, to me, this is a AA game. This is maybe not in budget, maybe not in like the publisher. Like, AA gaming for all intents and purposes is dead.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of how janky this game is, in terms of the production values that are presented to the player, this to me feels like a AA game, and I'm not the first person to say this. I've heard this on other podcasts, which is why I bring it up. And I think it's important because it's showing people that a game that's a little rough around the edges, that doesn't have a blown-out story, can still be a success in this day and age, where it seems like it's either mobile or AAA.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a cool thing.
Yeah, I think it also had a pretty non-scummy business model, I gotta say. You know, you pay once for the product,
yeah.
$60, and you got the year episodes, or you could buy them individually. I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah.
I think there were a lot of opportunities for really gross monetization efforts, but they actually were pretty reserved in that, which I have to give Eidos a lot of props for that. So.
Yeah.
Or I guess Square probably determined the distribution model, but go them. So, very cool. what else we got on this big bad boy? Pokemon. Want to talk Pokemon, Griff?
Not really, because I think we did it enough justice last time. I mean, maybe since we both finished the game, there's some worthwhile insights to go over, but I don't know. Is there anything humongous that sways you in a different direction since last we talked?
I would say I'm really impressed by the story. I think it's surprisingly like coherent story. It actually feels more like JRPGs of yore than most other games that I've played recently, which is hilarious.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, and it's not like it's like a great story, but it hits a lot of good beats. I don't know. I was surprisingly impressed by it. Again, you know, it's not something that's going to stick with me, but it just the vibe felt right.
Yep.
I'm a little bummed that, you know, there's so many legendaries, even though I think Ultra Beasts are fucking awesome as a concept. It just, you know, when it takes away from your total Pokemon count, that kind of blows. I think it kind of sucks that the new Pokemon are always, like, the rarest Pokemon on the roots.
Mm-hmm. Really absolutely, yeah, that's a big bummer.
Yeah, so I think there's some issues kind of with how they chose to kind of display the new Pokemon, but I think, you know, that all the comments about the world definitely still stand. Fantastic world.
Yep.
Lots of cool stuff. I think the trials probably aren't the best. Some of them were really cool and weird, and I like that about them, but just fighting those totem Pokemon wasn't really the same level of tension as, like, a gym battle, but I don't think the gym battles were that great these days anyway, either. So I don't know. They need to keep working on that.
Yeah, and I would say, as a person who sucks at Pokemon, like, the totem fights were way cool.
Okay. Well, I thought my experience was that I was over-leveled up until towards the end of the game when I calmed down on grinding. Nope. I wasn't really trying to grind, but just looking for new enemies and stuff. And like, I found ways not to gain too much experience. I swapped out Pokemon and stuff.
Yeah. I've never had a Pokemon game where I've, like, scraped by on items as hard as this one because of being under-leveled and under-typed for my fights. So, you know, the steps this game does take in a forward direction on making those things more obvious and less obscure, like what...
I love the typing notices.
Yes, those yes.
Really great.
Yeah. Once, but it only happens after you've fought something once or you yes. have the Pokedex info. Yeah,
perfectly balanced, in my opinion. I think that's great.
It is.
You know, eliminate the dumb work.
It would just be really nice if there could be, like, a reference table that's like, hey, Ghost is strong against this, or Dark is this. Like, I would love to not have to have my phone up for that sort of thing.
Yeah, they'll get there. I mean, I think that, you know, they're moving in that direction, but I think this is a good step.
Yes,
for sure.
I agree. And this game definitely does take good, like I said, I think we talked about it last, like, it takes fascinating steps in great directions in all different accounts, especially the Machop. Fucking.
It's so good. It has four arms and it carries you with its bottom, too.
Yep.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's cool. I think I talked about this already, but I'll hit the point again. I do miss having the freedom to kind of go in multiple directions at any given moment. That's just kind of gone now.
Mm.
You like, there's weird barriers to proceeding. Like, you try to go to off the beaten path,
mm-hmm.
and they'll just be like a random person will be like, "Hold on, let me see how many Z crystals you have." And then they're like, "You don't have enough Z crystals, you can't go here." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's dumb." So that kind of bums me out a little bit. I think the level design was good, but I just think it was designed with linear progression in mind, and I don't like that the game kind of teases you with non-linear progression sometimes and then doesn't offer it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit of a bummer. But on the whole, really good. Pokemon is still relevant, still fresh.
Yes, yes.
So, and Araquanid is overpowered.
Whatever you say, man.
You had an Araquanid, didn't you?
I don't know, man. I don't even know what that is.
All right, don't worry about it.
Okay, cool.
Should I try more of this game, or am I going to end up feeling the same way I always feel about Pokemon games with this? Because I really loved the opening. I just fell off so quick.
What do you hate about Pokemon again?
I don't hate anything about it, especially
this
game.
Why do you hate Pokemon,
Jamie? This game seems awesome. I just can't seem to keep the momentum going. Should I push through?
I would maybe suggest this to you, and this is kind of what happened to me accidentally, and that was pick your party and don't worry so much about catching all of the Pokemon you've come across, but just treat it kind of like an RPG and beat it. You know, don't worry about the I need to catch all the Pokemon, I need to beat all the, or I need to, like, fill up my Pokedex. Try maybe exploring it like, I'm going to have this party that I really enjoy, and play it through it like that. Because I kind of ended up drifting towards that towards the end of my playthrough, and I was like, wow, this is really cool.
Awesome, that's kind of what I wanted to do. I like really dopey Pokemon. Mm. Like, mm-hmm.
I do too, yeah, I do too.
Yeah, so I'm kind of thinking that I'll do that. That's a good advice. Thanks, Griff.
Yeah.
Dunsparce.
Dunsparce.
For life. Dunsparce is not in that game, unfortunately. But there are some dopey Pokemon, for sure.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it, in my opinion. Just, like, find... Well, so for me, I like to catch everything. But if... You know, just build a team and don't worry, like, about swapping stuff out all the time. Just swap if you find something cool, you know?
Yeah.
And you're so new-ish to the franchise, Jamie, that, like, if you find something from an older generation, you're not going to be like, oh, that's dumb, it's old. You'll just be like, oh, cool, I've never seen this thing before.
Right.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Which will also be, it's a double-edged sword where you're like, I'm supposed to know what this is? Question mark?
No, I'm... Yeah, no, don't know.
You go to, like, the gym leaders, and they're like, I got this guy. And I'm like, what is that?
Dude, those Ultra Beasts are fucked up, though.
Yeah.
The Pokedex entries just get mad dark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a, it's a great year for a super depressing Pokemon eating each other.
Yes. Oh, they're all so cruel and pernicious and awful. Palossand kills Pikachus.
Yep. Everything kills Pikachu.
There's a sandcastle Pokemon, Jamie, that turns into a vortex and sucks down other Pokemon and eats them and leaves their bones behind.
I saw something about that, and it is terrifying.
Everything eats Wishiwashi. Everything. Everything. There's a footnote on the end of every Pokedex entry, and it just says, Wishiwashi.
That's funny.
So that's what we figured it out. That's what Poke Beans are made of. Wishiwashi.
Wishiwashi. Good stuff, though. I like the game a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff,
I'm actually really happy to hear you finished it, too, and push your way through it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm catching the Ultra Beasts now. I'm down. I think I'm up to Kartana.
Did you use your Master Ball yet?
No.
Good.
Yeah, I know there's still Necrozma.
There's no need.
Yeah, for Necrozma either.
Well, I hear that there's no need to use the Master Ball yet.
Yeah, I think Necrozma is probably the one to use it on. That's mm-hmm. that's he's got, because all the Ultra Beasts are really easy to catch.
Yep,
I've had no trouble with any of them.
Yeah, all the main story things are all fine.
Well, the Tapus are kind of hard to catch.
Okay, yeah, that's true. I failed on my first one.
Okay, yeah, because it's like a weird story battle.
Yeah, which was really cool, because I was like, I just want to see the credits, because I just eat to buy.
Yeah, and they're like, let me heal your team for you. And I'm like, okay, I don't like this.
I was like, hey, Google, is this going to screw me over? And it was like, no, Griff, it's cool. I'm like, okay, yeah, cool.
I did the same thing. Thanks, I was like, man. Am I screwed? And I was like, well, what if I'm actually screwed, though? And then I just somehow managed to catch it with, like, one Ultra Ball left.
Yeah. Well, I tried still, but I had no Ultra Balls after that.
Yeah. So, but anyway, Jamie is now dead, so we'll move right along.
Sure.
what else we got to get through here? I know you guys have some stuff that I don't have because.
Can I ask you, Jeff? Quick, did Zero Time Dilemma make your list?
It did not, okay. And I had forgotten we had that on our thing. I liked Zero Time Dilemma, but I think you and I both agree that it was a lot weaker than VLR.
Yep.
And there is probably a whole host of potential reasons for that, but you know, it's just hard to ignore. It's hard to ignore that game was pretty jank. I don't think it was necessarily served that well by the decision to go fully, you know, rendered cutscenes with animation and movement and stuff. I think when you don't have the budget for it and you kind of try to do this half measure, I don't think it really worked out that well.
Yeah.
I think the motivations for some characters were a little bit...
Final Fantasy 15-y.
Well, maybe not the motivations as much as the, like, actual, like... personalities and acting for the characters was just a little off. It just wasn't quite on the level. I mean, I liked it. I think as a fan, I really enjoyed having it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun game for me. But I just, it doesn't, it's not something that I think really was worthwhile on my list.
I guess maybe I can sum it up succinctly by saying Zero Time Dilemma was awesome because it closed off a lot of loose ends of VLR. And yes. The things were
other ones didn't exist.
Yes, where it connected to VLR, it was fabulous and it had wonderful moments. But as a game in and of itself, and as like pushing the narrative forward, it was very weak.
Yeah, that's a really good way to play it, or say it rather.
It's a good way to play it. Good play there.
The only way to play. But yeah, so for me, you know, it wasn't enough. For you, it sounds like, you know, that connection to VLR was enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
The echoes of VLR was enough to put it on that list.
Yes.
All right. What else you guys got going on your list that maybe wasn't on mine?
I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I think I've covered everything that I want to talk about, except for my number one.
Okay. Jamie, what about you?
Yeah, the other ones on my list that I haven't specifically mentioned, I don't have much to say about like Ratchet and Clank and Hyper Light Drifter. I think that I'm in the same boat.
Okay. Well, the stuff that I haven't covered are Uncharted 3, 4, Overwatch, and XCOM 2. Do we want to say anything else about Uncharted 4? Or we already pretty much covered that one exhaustively?
I think we covered it exhaustively, but just as I look back, I realize how important that game is to me, and I hate the fact that they didn't really change the shooting that much, and I really don't like the shooting in that game at all. But I just thought that some of the story moments that everyone has already talked about to death are just really touching and really mean a lot to me personally. And
for sure.
I remember them so fondly at this late time in the year that it just had to be number two for me.
Yeah. If I could offer one more statement with that game, I think it's better than it has any right to be for being the fourth entry of a series.
That's a
about,
great point.
Like, a swashbuckling adventurer. Yeah. Like, it is just, it punches way above its weight class.
Yep.
And, you know, we've already talked about how great it looks, how fantastic and you know, industry moving forward those animations are. But yeah, it really punches above its weight class. So I think that's why it's number three on my list.
Everything about that thing mechanically, graphically, if you haven't already, there's a 10-minute, like, or I think even longer, expose on just its graphics by Digital Foundry on YouTube that you guys should 100% check out if you haven't already. Really, really sheds light on how the designers and the artists just strive for a level of immersion that other games don't even attempt to touch. I think it comes off.
It does. I mean, that was a, you know, hell of a game. As I said, just way better than than it has any right to be. So
yeah, Jeff, you put it very well. It's not to bring the situation down, but I'll just say Uncharted 4 was like 3 or 4 on my list, and then I played Final Fantasy 15, and I kind of had to reevaluate things and push it back because it didn't hang.
Where did it land? Is it
7
off the
for
now?
Me? It's 7.
Okay, so
on the second half, but
I think anytime a game with a number 4 after it charts,
yeah,
and it's telling the same story, and it's not about like an auteur, that's pretty damn impressive, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I've loved every Uncharted.
Yeah. So it's, you know, the fact that it even landed for all of us, and it landed as high as it did, is saying something.
Mm-hmm.
In a year crowded with greats.
Yeah,
for
definitely,
sure.
Most definitely.
Yeah, well said.
Speaks to Naughty Dog and their prowess. The other one that I think nobody's number one, but it was on everyone's list, Overwatch. I mean, you know, again, we talked about that one ad nauseum. I think for me and Jamie, we kind of had a community. I think the PC is kind of the place to really engage with that game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, PS4 is fine too, but I think the community is just a little easier on PC. I don't really know. Just a real fun game. I mean, I keep coming back to it. I couldn't in good conscience make it my number one because I don't really engage with it in a way that I think would make it worthy of my number one spot, if that makes any sense.
But what about all the deviant art you engage with?
Well, that's I manually engage with that.
I was
digitally engage with that
to put it at my number one
on my man.
Sorry about that. I was tempted to put it at number one just because I can't remember being so engaged with a multiplayer game and having so much fun and just being at work and just thinking about it and wanting to come home and meet up with my friends on a game. I can't. I mean, I haven't felt that way in like a decade.
What about Titanfall 1?
No one else played that game but me. Like, literally,
yeah,
no,
I mean,
one.
Overwatch has this quality of like being a competitive shooter, but also having it's maintained a level of accessibility that is actually kind of astonishing.
Yeah.
Like, I can still play that game, which is saying something.
Not only can I still play that game after taking a little bit of a break to study for my tests and all that, I can jump in, and I can jump in with the new characters who I've never played before, and I can be okay. And
I can play as Soldier 76. Soldier 76, Soldier 76, Lucio, Soldier 76, Soldier 76. Carry on.
I just think that I think that every character in that game is amazingly designed and simple, easy to learn, difficult to master.
I guess the best question for you guys, though, is how do you play without all the hack mods for the PC?
Well, we all have aimbot.
Right.
I mean, that's
just
a given.
Like, have you ever considered turning it off? Is it a different game?
PC Master Race, bro.
Okay, all right, just checking.
This guy uses fucking analog nubs to aim his guns.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
What a tool.
What is this, the 17th century? Okay, Hamilton.
Hey, Gutenberg, why don't you go print some goddamn Bibles?
The PlayStation
hey, Moses,
4 is
why don't
the
you go
center
Jewish
of the universe.
Yeah, why don't you write on some tablets, you fucking rube?
Yeah.
Oh, and scene. So have you got anything else to power through here before we talk about our number ones and why they landed there for us? Or are we there? Did we get there?
I don't feel like we need to talk about Doom again. Yeah.
Griffin, tell us why Doom was your number one.
No, I agree with Jamie. I don't think there's much to say. I think it's been a wonderful year for FPSs. Like,
it seemingly has been.
Overwatch,
I really need to play those
Call
FPSs.
Of Duty, Titanfall, Doom. Like, my list is stacked with, I guess, Deus Ex is even kind of FPS-y.
Oh yeah, Deus Ex.
So
which I need to play more.
As a person who usually tends to pick a lot of FPSs for their Game of the Year stuff, this was an exceptionally eye-opening year for, like, man, maybe they're doing something good, or maybe I'm just in too deep. But I really think that this was a good year for first-person shooters. And Doom, no jokes, like, Jamie, I think that we've talked about it enough of why it's so good. There's a video on YouTube of us playing through it, or not us, but of me and Colin and Gene playing through a couple levels and doing some multiplayer and everything. Like, Doom is great. Doom is it's incredible.
It's absolutely incredible. I thought that I would never have more fun with a first-person shooter than I did with the new Wolfenstein game. This is, it goes so far above and beyond that. I enjoy this first-person shooter in a way that I never thought I could enjoy a first-person shooter. Wow. I just thought that first-person shooters weren't for me. Like, in the same way that they are for many people, like the same way that people are obsessed with Call of Duty. This game showed me that I can enjoy first-person shooters in that kind of obsessive way.
How about this? So, you guys have both played Overwatch. In the same aspect that Overwatch's multiplayer balance and, like, hooks and, like, ease of accessibility and all that stuff is so telling of what that game is about. Like, it defines that game. It's that, but blended into a single-player experience for Doom. Like, it's accessible. Like, it's fun. Like, it's easy to approach at any level. You can pick it up. And then, on top of all that, it kind of reinvents the single-player first-person shooter genre, too. So it's taking all the things that kind of, like, Overwatch does as a multiplayer experience, but it twists it into a single-player. Plus...
Griff?
Hey! Did you guys lose me?
Plus what?
Oh, I was going to say, plus it does, it actually has multiplayer too, which is just fine.
I remember going to my friend Stephen Hellenius' house in elementary school and playing Doom on his computer, and I remember the way that playing the original Doom made me feel. And there are two ways that you can go about rebooting a franchise. You can either try to make a game that it feels the same as the old game felt, or you can try to make a game that makes people feel the way they felt when they played that game back then. And I feel like this game does the latter to a T. It doesn't emulate the first game at all, but it makes you feel the same way you felt back then. And it gives you that sense of power in a way that, like, no game has done in so long. And just changing everything about a first-person shooter. Now you run towards the enemies. It's not cover-based. You have to, because your health is based on that. And just, it's amazing.
I'm excited. Can I tell you guys how far I got in Doom?
Mm-hmm.
You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
So I installed Doom on Steam. And recently I was going to install the last Hitman episode, and my computer ran out of space again, and I haven't installed my new solid-state drive yet, so I deleted Doom.
Hey, Jeff, I installed a solid-state drive that I got on Black Friday the other day. You know how long it took me to do that?
I have to remove my motherboard to do it. You don't understand. It's not easy.
I don't understand, Jeff. If the solid-state, or if the SSD is the superior, why would you have to remove stuff from it?
Because you can only take so much superiority at once. So right now, I took a step forward, I took a step back, so I'll keep you guys posted. I really want to play it. I just, it's one of those things where I need to get my shit together on my computer, and it's just, I have not taken the time.
I was actually having a conversation with myself today, about this topic, and I said to myself, Griff, if Jeff were to commit to a first-person shooter that was developed by id Software, should it be Doom or
Wolfenstein?
Or Wolfenstein, which is the one that he would spend his time in. And I, after a long conversation with me, I said, you should play Wolfenstein and not Doom.
And then you laughed maniacally?
Well, one of us did, yeah.
Interesting. I'm intrigued to hear that. Do you have a reason? Story beats? Is that why?
Story beats, and I think like the frenetic nature of Doom is kind of like maybe going against your sentiments and your... You said you kind of get like motion sickness and stuff like that with...
Oh, no, FPS. I don't get motion sick at all.
Oh, you don't?
No. I like frenetic.
Oh, okay. Well...
I love the flow of Mirror's Edge, man.
Yeah, that's different.
I love fast-paced crazy. I'm all about rushing the enemy.
Okay.
I don't strategy. I love Metal Gear Rising. That's in your face. That's rushing the enemy.
You can't defend yourself.
Alrighty.
Okay, but no, that definitely makes me think otherwise. I thought that you were saying that like you had a little discomfort from that. So in that end, now
no.
I'm kind of like, well,
tell
other Griff is going to have to
Niffurg.
See.
Tell Niffurg.
Griff and I are going to have to talk, and we'll see.
Yeah.
Where things
should get back to me later.
Yeah. Anyway, other number ones, please. Somebody else.
I'll go next, I guess. If I'm going to defend XCOM 2, I feel like we can't end on that note. So you guys are pretty surprised by that. I really love that game. I think XCOM 2 is one of the best strategy games I've ever played. I think it's really, really fun. I love, and I have to comment that the particular way in which I played it, I think added to a lot of the fun. I think, you know, whatever you put the difficulty on is neither here nor there. But setting it to the mode, and maybe you have to play on hard for this, I can't remember, where your decisions are permanent and you can't save scum is the way to go in that game. Because this is a game where when you lose like a squatty, they die permanently. You know, it's permadeath, and you feel that loss. And like you will be set back by doing that, and you're like on the back foot after that, and you have to figure out how to recover. And
nice sports analogy, Jeff.
Thank you. I didn't know that was a sports thing.
That was very good.
And it's a game about managing risk and about dealing with bad situations, and I think. You know, you eventually get to a point where you can pretty well mitigate risk, and then you get to the last mission where you're going to lose guys no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But especially in the early game, it's all about kind of like dealing with bad situations, making tough choices left and right, and facing the consequences, and like knowing what's important and knowing what to let go. And there are very few games where you have to let shit go. I think it's unique in that it forces you to forego certain things. It forces you to not collect every item on the map because maybe you have a turn limit on your mission. Or, like, you just have to... Like, sometimes you have to fail your missions because you just can't do them in time. Or sometimes you have to retreat and you have to, like, lose the spoils of battle or maybe leave a squad member behind. It's a game where you have to deal with a lot of adverse events in order to do well. And I think that's really cool. And I think the enemy types that the game introduced were all really creative, very interesting. I think that the classes were really cool. I think the Ranger class that they added was really neat with its focus on melee and some of the skills you can level up and the split paths and stuff are all really cool. I think getting rid of the weird-ass air game from the first game that I couldn't understand and just made me feel like I was doing everything wrong is a great decision. I think that it plays more like a board game with the strategy elements, which is really neat. But there is sufficient pressure I just really enjoyed it. And that last mission where the game did grind to a halt was really awesome. It was a hard mission. I barely made it. I got by the skin of my teeth. I lost my best character, and then got like a lucky proc on an ability, which won the game for me. But it just was an unbelievably awesome, intense mission where like I was getting completely overrun by enemies. It was truly one of those situations where if I'd gone another turn, that I would have been completely overrun. And a game that can generate that kind of tension for me is a game that's going to stick with me.
I just think that game was so hard. Like,
yeah,
oh, it's
that
hard.
Was definitely the hardest game I've ever played. Like, on the third mission, I was legitimately stumped. I wiped so many times, and I was like, I don't think this game's for me.
Right. Like what Jamie's saying, like, there's no way to save Scum through it. And, like, Jeff,
well,
like...
you can if you play a lower difficulty.
To me, it reminds me of Pokemon, where I'm like, this reminds me of, like, my Elite Four battle, where I'm like, I just gotta get through it and just use these revives like a chump. and when you say, like, it's challenging and intense, like, that's not a thing that I can do in games, but I appreciate that that's what your beat is, so...
Well, it's not always my beat. Like, I like an easy game, too, but I think this was a game that pushed me, and, you know, I like a certain kind of strategy game. I'm not really big on, like, grand strategy, but I like unit building, and I like kind of... I like that juxtaposition between kind of... Like, I didn't think the macro strategy stuff was as convoluted as it was in XCOM, which made it more accessible for me. And I got to focus more on, like, squad comp and, like, making those on the battlefield choices, which I thought were cooler anyway. And I think it was really hard, but I think this was the game where I kind of cracked what XCOM is all about.
Huh.
And that made it really fun for me.
It's about loss.
It's about love.
It's weird. You know, it's not something that when I made this list, I set out to put it on number one. It kind of just landed there because I was like, I can't make Overwatch my game of the year. Because even though I love that game, it doesn't speak to me on, like, a base level. Whereas I think XCOM kind of does. Like, it's got a lot of hooks that I really like. And... you know, it sucks that it didn't perform that great on my PC at the time, but it was good enough, and it, you know, it's truly quite memorable, and it's amazing that we are in a year where that game came out in, what, February, and so much good shit has come out since then.
For sure.
But even thinking back, you know, it still sticks with me, so that's why it's my number one.
That's awesome. I love that it's very, very much Jeff's number one, too. That's really good.
Exactly.
Good way to end
it
there.
I don't know that it's everyone's number one, but it's definitely mine, so... What about you, Jamie?
My number one is very much a me number one.
Oh, yeah, I remember now.
So Firewatch is the best walking sim that has come out to date, in my opinion.
My number one is very much a me number one, too, guys.
What?
Sorry, just keep going on.
Wait, your number one is Doom.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good walking simulator.
Yep.
I think that Firewatch tells a really touching and grabbing story in a perfect amount of time, and it's perfectly paced in a setting that is perfectly reflective of the themes of the game and of the story. I think that it uses voice acting in one of the most effective ways I've ever seen in a game, which is surprising given that you never see the characters' faces, but I felt like I lived in that character more than I ever have in any other game. And I felt like I knew the only other character in the game, the woman who you communicate only through the radio with and that you never see. I thought I knew her.
What was her name?
And I thought... I don't remember.
Was it Lorelai?
It was Lorelai.
How would you say that XCOM 2 is like Gilmore Girls?
There's a lot of death and destruction.
Alexis Bledel does kind of look like an alien with those blue eyes.
I thought that the relationship between the two characters evolved really, really naturally, and was each beat, each new piece of information that you learned about the other character, and even about yourself, was paced out so well throughout the course of the game. And I kept having moments where I was thinking, wow, this little bit of characterization that we're getting is perfect to be told in this environment that I happen to be in right now. And it, with this part of the overarching plot happening right now, I guess I feel like it's a feat in storytelling. And I feel like it couldn't work in any other medium. And that's really what I try to judge Walking Sims on, is if could this be a show? Could this be a short novel? I really feel like Firewatch could not be either of those things. I feel like it's unique. And I just... That game will stick with me for years. That's it.
Griff, did you feel that way?
Jeez.
It's okay if you didn't.
No, he's not. That's not what he's reacting to.
I just actually opened the doc for Jeff's Game of the Year and saw all the pictures.
I added some since you were last in there.
Yeah, so that's...
Keep scrolling down.
No, thanks. I kept scrolling down, and it just kept being there.
Lorelai and Rory are pretty happy.
Jamie, I'll agree with you. Like, Firewatch was, again, one of those games that was on a lot of... It was in a higher slot on my list, and the more I just kind of asked myself, like, what made me happy this year, kind of just it pushed it further and further off it. And you're absolutely right. Like, what kind of a scenario could be conveyed in... I love that, the way that you conveyed it, where it's like, this is only a video game that can convey this. Like, there's that only happens so many times a year, that there is, like, a game that is only existing as a game in its storytelling means and medium. So I really appreciate that you, like, laid that out there.
Thank you. I know it has plenty of problems. I think it runs poorly. I think the actual art direction left a lot to be desired. But I feel like they hit the most important stuff, the core they got.
Yeah.
But sorry, I interrupted you. What were you
going to say? No. Like, you don't need to... to beat your choice down. I'm just saying, like, for me, like, I guess it's Doom on one end, Firewatch on the other hand, both first person games. It's just
both have shotguns. My game was the first person, and that I was the first person to name it the best game of the year.
You got it.
Nailed it.
Firewatch, just like, there was just so many parts of the game of it that, though, like you said, Jamie, this experience couldn't exist inside anything else except for a game. There are so many things within the game that were bad, like the poor navigation and the poor, like, signposting and the physics and get, like you said, like, it's clunky, it's kludgy, like, it needs a lot of work. Like, was it built in Unity, is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah,
which is why it's so bad,
right? Like, it as a functioning video game, it needed a lot of gas in the tank, and it didn't have it. But there are so many positive merits for that experience that I think you said so well.
Yeah, it's really a shame that, like, with these walking simulators, a lot of the creators seem to have my sensibilities, which is, let's really iron out the way that the story will be conveyed, and everything else will fall where it will, where it may. And I wish that there would be a walking sim dev who could do both, who could really iron out the best way to deliver the story and also make a really solid, slightly more interactive video game.
Do it, Jamie.
Yep.
Let's do it.
The mantle is falling upon you.
Cool. Well, I think we made it through our list, guys. I think that we did this in a time frame that wasn't insane.
Yeah. Oh,
so
Jeff,
congrats to all.
Wait. Did you say your secret game?
Huh?
Did you say your secret game?
Oh, no, I'll say it. So this is just almost an aside. I'm giving an honorable mention to Pokemon Go, which was a bad game. And there's no way that this game could be on my top 10
list.
Yeah,
well said. Yeah, for sure.
But it's a game that I played a lot of, and it's a game that had an effect on me this year, in that it led to me making some connections, and it led to me making some pretty lasting friendships around here. And in that way, it's important to me. And I want to, you know, give it props for being a zeitgeisty game that actually kind of achieved its aim and had, you know, had a profound effect on me. I think it had an effect on you, Griff.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, I think you were...
100%, yeah. I'm glad you brought it up.
Med school. Yeah, Jamie, I think you were in med school, and if you downloaded that game, it would have been awful for all parties, so it's probably good that you stayed away.
But a lot of people did play it, and a lot of my med school friends played it in the hospital all the time.
Oh, Jesus. So, yeah.
Did they only catch meta champs?
Yeah, inside dead bodies.
Meta-tight? No, it's not out yet. It's a good game. It's not a good game.
It's a great experience.
It's a good experience, and it was good to be part of it, and it was meaningful for me, and that's why I want to bring it up. I think it's kind of the definition of an honorable mention, mm-hmm. or maybe not the exact definition, but it is perfect for that category because it's not worthy of being on this list at all,
mm-hmm.
but it deserves to be spoken of,
yep.
And I think it's something that I will remember. So I just wanted to kind of get it out there.
No, that is awesome. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I forgot about it, and it was huge for so much time in my life this year.
It was, yeah. And anything, you know, even if it's not a good game, anything that can have that kind of transformative effect on your own life is pretty cool.
Right.
So
I think that a lot of phone games kind of poke their way into our daily lives that kind of a way, mm-hmm. but Pokemon Go definitely, like, shoved its way in there forever. Miitomo was there for a while, you know. Clash Royale was a big thing this year for a lot of people, but Pokemon Go was transcended.
It really did. I mean, Miitomo was fun for us to all make jokes at each other, but it wasn't a game that fostered new connection for me in a way that Pokemon Go did. I mean, Pokemon Go, you know, helped me meet people.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Right. Pokemon Go was like, hey, family, let's do something together. Like, that's a really... I'm not the only one to say that. Like, let's go walk to the park together as a family. That was really awesome.
I agree. So, it's... You know, that's why I wanted to bring it up today.
Mm-hmm.
So
on a different note, let's just take it... Just twist the knife into a different direction. Like, what game was just the worst? What was the worst?
Ooh, let me look at my list.
Mirror's Edge.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? First answer nails it.
Hmm.
let me see if there's any.
Could not believe I watched Jeff play that game, and I think I've never been sadder in my life.
Hmm.
I showed him one of the fragile deliveries.
And then you also showed me the hideout, and you just could not navigate around the hideout, and it's your goddamn hideout?
Well, the hideout was I hate everyone in the hideout. I hate how edgy everyone is. Oh, man. I had a lot of issues with that game. I'm going to see if there's anything else I hated more.
Can I pose one right there? Right now? Right here, right now?
Yeah.
Star Fox?
Right now.
Ooh, Star Fox.
Very good one.
Maybe.
Star Fox might be the most egregious, like, lump of shit that came out of this year.
Should we be really edgy and say No Man's Sky?
No Man's Sky...
It was a pretty bad game.
No Man's Sky, though, is not... Okay, here's the thing. No Man's Sky playing that game is... There's nothing wrong with it. Like, it is yet another Minecraft clone.
Okay, it's like... Yeah, it's like C-tier.
Right.
Like, it's... I wouldn't say it's a good game. It passes... It passes.
It's a Minecraft game. Like, if you're
it's an indie game.
Anyway, check your expectations. Like, was this game going to change your life? Most
like
people
in 2011,
say yes.
You know, I would have been like, oh wow, indies do have some promise. I guess. Well, give them a little more time in the oven and see mm-hmm. if they produce anything good.
Nope. Oops. Whoops. It's super burnt. Oh my goodness. It's all on fire. Sean Murray.
Yeah. Star Fox is pretty bad.
Star Fox is like legitimately bad.
And Miyamoto, man, he can't own it.
No.
That man is old.
No.
can I give a game? Can we talk about also games that didn't make the list that you thought might make the list?
Sure.
I'm just going to say Dark Souls 3 for me. First Dark Souls game that I didn't really care that much about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great addition. I was going to say that thing was kind of garbage.
I've heard all sorts of things about Dark Souls 3. Some people think it's a really good synthesis of everything in the series, but most people think it's just boring as hell. Do you guys think that you are burned out on Dark Souls because you've played it all? Or do you think that this was just kind of an uninspired...
Both. I think it's both. I think the frequency of releases hurt them.
And I think that coming out with Bloodborne before this, like, it's Bloodborne, to me, is a superior game. So why release this? Yes, it tickles a different itch, but it's not.
Yeah, it just. I mean, I think it's a more solid. I think the design is better than 2. I think 2 was more interesting in its weirdness.
Yep.
I think it was a distinct product. I don't think it was necessarily a better product, but I think it achieved something by being different. This just felt derivative. I mean, it's a very solid, well designed game, but it just doesn't offer anything new, really.
Right. Somebody might call it the Rogue One of Dark Souls.
Haven't seen it yet.
I still love that movie, but I'll.
It's the problem with annualizing franchises, man. It's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how good the source is, it's just you can't do that. People get burnt out.
But I will add to this list Rise of the Tomb Raider, which came out for PC in February. So I'm putting it on my 2016. I loved Tomb Raider 2013. I thought it told a great story. I thought it rebooted the franchise in a really fantastic way. And as a series fan, I was super hyped. This game tells a really flat story that has... All Tomb Raider stories have fantastical elements to them. But those fantastical elements, much like in Indiana Jones, much like in Uncharted, those fantastical elements have to rear their head towards the end of the game, and the game has to be rooted in reality. This game is not, and it's just ridiculous from the get-go. You essentially meet Jesus, and he's your sidekick throughout the whole goddamn game, and it's terrible. And while the
I've heard,
mechanics were... What?
I've heard that you meet Jesus, yep.
What the fuck? This is amazing.
It's essentially like you meet a Jesus-like figure.
I know.
And,
I believe.
The mechanics are there.
I believe.
Yeah?
I believe.
The mechanics are there. The level design is there for the most part, although
does
I would say
still,
that some
does
of
she
the,
still hate tombs? Or is she coming
she
around
hates,
to them?
She's coming around.
it's Tomb Raider, not Tomb Hater.
You don't remember in Tomb Raider 2013 when she goes, I hate tombs!
There are moments at the end of this game that are so reminiscent of the 2013 game that I actually went back and replayed those initial elements to make sure that I wasn't going crazy. And yeah, they really lifted a lot of stuff from 2013 game. And
so it was the Home Alone 2 to 2013's Home Alone.
Yes. So that's my big disappointment. Should have been on my list, but isn't.
Griffith, you have anything?
I'm going to throw this out. The Division. I know when that premiered at E3 in like 2001, I was really excited by it.
Don't you know better than to get excited about Ubisoft unveilings, dude?
Well, let's just hold that thought for a second.
Also, can I just say that Rainbow Six Siege, I always thought that game was going to be good, and lo and behold, people love that shit.
It's not.
Just
it's
putting
so
that out there.
I was really excited by The Division. I thought, like, oh, cool things, like, whatever, like, third-person shooter, Diablo-style loot 'em up, but then so many other games came in and ate that lunch before it came out, and I played the game this year, and it was boring. So that's enough to say about that. And then speaking of Ubisoft, humongous E3 demos, Steep. Anybody touch that this year?
Oh, yeah.
I did not touch it.
No.
Nope.
Yeah. Great. Perfect.
Did you play it?
It's on my to-do list. It's coming for me.
I heard that to-do list of yours is pretty steep.
I actually didn't hate Mirror's Edge Catalyst like you guys did. I actually really enjoyed Mirror's Edge Catalyst, like, a lot.
I know you did, you goddamn monster.
Yeah, it was very Zen-like for me.
Probably your favorite game behind Crisis Core, right?
I think they were a tie, actually.
Okay, yeah.
For, like, secret best games ever.
Yeah.
But
a really well-kept secret.
An obvious one to throw to the fire is just Battleborn. You know, it came out right before Overwatch, and it just kind of wasn't the thing that it was promising, and Overwatch again, to use the same launch. To use the same terminology, yeah, it ate its launch.
Yeah. What game are you guys excited to play that you haven't played yet? I am really excited to play Planet Coaster, which I just bought.
Wait, from this year?
Yeah, this year.
Oh, cool.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm really excited to play Pony Island, and I'm really excited. Me too. I'm actually really excited to play the new Telltale Walking Dead, because not just because PewDiePie's playing it, but people
90% because of that.
But people have been talking about it, and it seems interesting, and I can't wait to get to that. What about you guys?
I'm on the same page as you with Pony Island. I want to play that. Gosh, there's so much I have to play. Doom, more Final Fantasy 15. Last Guardian still shitting in shrink wrap. Fucking Dishonored 2. Titanfall 2. The list goes on. There's a lot of stuff I still need to play this year.
I just want to reiterate again, Titanfall 2 is just amazing. That's it.
Yeah, I gotta play it, man.
It's a really good game. I'll be honest right now. I feel like I've hit all the games I want to hit, so the only thing that I'm really excited to play would be Oxenfree, because Jamie just really sold it hard. And I know you've been selling it for a while, so that's one of the big ones that I'm like, okay, I have to do this, and I'm actually excited to play it. Like, there's a lot of games that I know I need to do, because it's just, like, work. But this one, you know, you're making a great case for, like, I'm going to have to play this, so...
Normally, to be honest, if that game were any longer than it is, I would really be hesitant to recommend it to either of you. But because it's so short, I think that you guys will like it, even if you don't dig the style of writing or the style of dialogue, or even if you think that there's not enough interactivity. I think that it's worth it just because it's such a concise little thing.
Yeah, Oxenfree is for me.
But Griffin, Valhalla has talking dogs.
I know, Jeff, but...
Yes?
But it's not out on PS Vita yet.
That's true. Fair enough. 2017, then.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to close this bad boy down?
Yeah, let's close this bad boy down by saying, what is your 2017 most excited game thing?
Oh, geez.
Ooh. Tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. Next year again? everything you could ever imagine is coming out next year.
Is it?
Is the Uncharted thing coming out?
Let me just say this right now, Jeff. Nier Automata.
Ooh, Automata, you mean. Nier, I'm excited about. I'm excited about Horizon. Oh, that looks real good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's... Oh.
I don't even know. Something else coming out soon. Dragon Quest, I'm pretty excited about.
Resident Evil 7, anybody?
No.
No?
I am really excited for that game. I am very excited. Jeff Kanata played, like, a bunch of that game, and he was not a fan of the recent REs, and he's super bullish on it.
How about For Honor, every beard-loving buddy's favorite game?
I want to play that. I'm excited
Yeah,
about
I want to
that.
Play that. That looks cool.
Tom Clancy's. Wildlands.
I mean, I actually thought that looked pretty solid, but I don't have any interest.
Griff's personal favorite of this coming year, Persona 5.
I'll play it.
Oh my god. I can't wait. That looks so good.
The new South Park game?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
I want me some Dragon Quest. I hope that comes to the West this year, although it might come next year.
I can't wait to play Mirage Sessions hashtag FE on the Switch.
A new powered piece of shit.
Yeah, is that our answer here across the board? Is just 2017's most excited thing is just the Switch?
Yeah, probably. I think it's actually.
Yeah.
Can't wait to play that thing at PAX East. It's going to be at PAX South. Did you know that?
I did not, so when is that?
PAX South?
Yeah.
Sometime early next year.
So can we buy it before you go there?
No. Oh. It'll be at PAX East, which is... March 12th,
and it won't
be available yet.
Yeah.
So,
exciting. I'll start walking.
Is the new CD Projekt Red thing coming out in 2017 or 2018?
I think they already said it'll be like 3 years from now.
2020.
Yeah, it's going to be a big project.
They said they're actually going to do it. They're going to do it once Cyberpunk isn't cool anymore. So we have a long ways to wait.
But they'll make it cool again.
Damn. That's okay. No. I have like 2 years worth of The Witcher left, so.
What was I going to say about that? They just got a bunch of money from the Polish government to study like multiplayer or something, which is weird.
Hopefully not for that game.
Right.
Probably for that game. But probably for, probably for like a light asynchronous multiplayer element.
More okay, Gwent. Cyber Gwent.
Or Cyber Gwent. It sounds like it won't be. I don't think they're going to alienate, you know, single player fans. It sounds pretty mild. So.
Yeah.
Anywho, all right, you guys want to tamp this thing down?
Yep.
Close the vault on 2016.
Finish it.
All right. Edit in the sound effect, Griffin, of the vault being closed. all right, guys, it's been a fun year. Obviously, you know, we've all been pretty busy and
podcasts. No, Jeff, it's been a shitty year.
That's true. It's been a terrible year.
It's been an awful year.
We've all gone through some shit. The world sucks. But at least we still have video games and we still get to podcast from time to time. So that's nice. Hopefully once things settle down for everyone, we'll be able to do it a little more.
Yeah.
Because it's always fun.
Things will never settle down. Just buoy yourself to the occasional engagement of friends talking about video games. And fortunately, this year has been a good year. And then 2017 will be an even better year because games are getting better every freaking time.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with everything we've gotten. You know, after being a little worried about the caliber of stuff coming out, this has been a really big year. So.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Oh, God. Shut it all down. Delete the recording, everyone. We're starting over.
Starting the whole thing over.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's put a bow on it and say goodbye till next year.
Yep.
Put a bow on my penis?
Mm-hmm. That's what I did at my
office. I am not going to let you finish this podcast, Jeff. I am not going to let it. We will continue talking for two more hours.
No, we were in the realm of reason.
No.
Jamie.
Yep.
What was your favorite Wii U release this year?
Let it
go. We have to hook Jeff in.
Let it go.
We have to hook Jeff in.
Yeah, hook Jeff in.
My favorite
Griffin,
Wii U...
a wise man once told me, let it go.
Jeff is right, I think. I think we have to let it go.
Or if you're more of a Suda fan, let it die. Available for free on the PlayStation Network.
I want to try that.
If you had to kill one service, what would it be? The 3DS handheld or the Nintendo home console?
I will not... listen to those ridiculous.
If you
questions.
Had to choose one, you have to choose Solomon's
Griffin,
choice.
This podcast
Solomon
is
baby.
Over. Cut them both in half.
Chop them both in half,
and then build them up again. Buy a new set.
You beat
Jeff. Who's cooler, Mario or Zelda? And why?
Jeff, is Mega Man truly a Nintendo franchise or not?
No, it's been on other platforms. We're ending this,
Jeff. Talk not about Final Fantasy IX for a little bit.
Jeff, why don't you like Monster Hunter? No.
I've tried, man. Oh, God, what's happening?
Best amiibo of 2016.
Jeff, can you talk to me about the motivations of Cinna, the character from Final Fantasy IX?
Most anticipated amiibo of 2017.
Cinna.
Legit, can you both need to play FF9 and beat that game. It's so goddamn good.
Nope, pass.
I kind of want to on my iPad.
Oh, thanks.
You should consider it, or play it on your Vita. It might be...
it's on Vita, okay.
Yeah. I would lean towards playing the PS1 original, but, I mean, you know, you can play the port, too. And
I would play the Final Fantasy IX game, but I don't have the internet connection to get the Brady's Guide that it always has to.
Enter password Terra on whatever that website was. Do you guys remember that shit?
I do. That's why I made the joke.
Oh, my God. That was a joke. What was the name of it? Play Online.
Jeff, have you heard of a game called Binding of Isaac?
All right, it's time to pause this podcast. I'm hitting stop. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.